United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club. What am I supposed to do? Well, the government seems to be cheating, selling us to the enemy. And those who're supposed to be preaching are no one.
Show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, hey, I'm back. I'm here. I'm not there. I don't know what in the world is going on. My machine is just like it just like went dead on me and said stop. I don't want to work. I know it's Friday. So you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, and today is the 15th. Can you believe it? Of November. Thanksgiving is two weeks away, and we are here. And I have with me a friend of mine named Mark Colucci, and he's going to hang out with me today. He wanted to come on and talk about John Kennedy, and I'm going to ask him what's so special about John Kennedy because I'm confused. He didn't, you know, he got a lot of hype and a lot of love from everybody, but I'm not impressed with who, what, why. And so we're going to take a little few minutes. How you doing, Mark? How's everything going?
Great, Tracy, and thanks for having me in.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. How's everything going? You haven't been here for a little while.
It's going good. I have a lot of things in the hopper, and I listen to you every day.
Thank you.
Are going here.
I'm trying to do my best.
You're doing a good job.
Trying to make some waves and do some things. Sitting here trying to figure out what happened to my little sound. Oh, my sound is. They say it's going to work now. They say it fixes itself.
There you go.
There it is. I don't know what.
Well, look at that.
It fixed itself.
A ghost in the machine.
Smartphones.
Mm-hmm.
So what else is new? What's happening with you?
Well, I'm watching your career down there at the Board of Elections.
I love the board.
You had a lot of interesting issues, and I think you handled them properly. And it's a real rough and tumble thing to be in.
I love the board.
Yeah,
I think it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just great.
Yeah, I think you brought your talents there, and I think a lot of people, quite frankly, relieved that somebody's there that's going to call it like she sees it.
I'm going to do my best.
Yeah.
But it is the most, out of all the positions and out of all the jobs that I've ever held, whether public and or private, to me it is the most rewarding and most exhilarating because you never know it all. And I personally don't allow so much of my politics to get in the way of it. Mm-hmm. I am proud of the Board of Elections here in Mahoning County. They do a wonderful job. The staff there is really, really great. There are a couple changes that I'd like to see made. But the election process is so fundamental to the democracy of America.
Yeah.
And the undereducation of Americans is really scary.
It is, and I think the elections are the last defense of a democracy, so it's good to see new blood in there and and that's what you bring, and you bring your experiences, and we need somebody impartial, and I think you're doing a good job.
Well, I appreciate it, but I'm having a blast, and so
nothing wrong with that.
I'm having a blast. I shouldn't have a position that I love so much.
That's true.
it's kind of very seldom do you get those. I mean, I love what I do here on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
But the board being able to impact serve people.
Yeah. Service, public service. A lot of people forgot what that meant.
And it's not like the Board of Elections.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Board of Education.
Education, right. Mm-hmm.
It's not like that. It's the because it's a political entity that's not a political entity.
Yeah.
So when we had to rule on the mayor's race, when it came down to who was a Democrat and who wasn't.
Mm-hmm. That was a hard call.
No.
Mm-hmm.
The law reads one way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not about what you think, but it's about interpreting the law and saying, okay, you didn't prove
mm-hmm.
that this person was not an independent.
I think you made the right call on that. The Attorney General's opinion and whatever disagreement, you followed what the state of Ohio, their position is. That's your job.
And so what have you been doing? What's going on with you? Tell me.
Well, I'm writing a few things, and I have some announcements coming out after the first of the year, a couple of books I've been working on. And I see that we're coming up on the 50th anniversary of the President Kennedy's assassination. In fact, it's a week from today. It happened on a Friday back in 1963, and it captured a whole generation. If you were, I was a young boy at the time, and here we are 50 years later, and quite frankly, the controversy is just as alive as it was back then, if not more so. We have technology now. We have the internet. We have search engines, and there's a I see a shift in certain camps starting to agree on some fundamental things about the entire Odyssey.
So now, how old were you when Kennedy died?
Well, I was 5 years old, and I was talking to my mother about this today, and I could remember coming home from school, and the kids in the neighborhood were mad because cartoons were not on. And we were in the back, and I remember all the adults coming over and gathering at our home and watching this. And it wasn't until high school at Cardinal Mooney in 76 that really a lot of the controversy, a lot of the books were being written, and a local person came in and did an interview. And I was hooked on that, being a student of politics and history. And from that point on, I followed it, probably read everything on it. And I bring some perspective to some of our discussion today that maybe people haven't thought about. But I think it's interesting that now more than ever, the majority of Americans still think that there was more to it than just a lone gunman. And there's some really good books that came out for the 50th anniversary. And I think out of any homicide in the century gone by, this one should have been handled better than it was. And I think there's a lot of interest in cover-ups and so forth, and a lot of craziness out there, but I think now there's some agreement on some basic things, thanks to technology and the sharing of information and the internet, and being able to, develop common threads of what happened, bolstered by witnesses and so forth.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. You guys know on Friday it's always open mic, but I have Mark here with me. We're going to talk about Kennedy and all that, and we're going to have some conversation and throw us a whole lot of stuff, and then we're probably going to talk about President Obama's fall on the sword, apology on yesterday. So we'll talk about a little bit of everything. I'm trying to keep this a little bit slower than normal because I want to ask Mark, and probably in the next segment, I want to talk about politics. And talk about Kennedy politics, and why did he die? All those kinds of questions. Was he a great president? I mean, what did he do? I heard someone, I believe, on Channel 33, which is ABC here, talking about how he came here because he had a friend who lived here. He came here for a funeral way before he had even run for office. And he came here several times, but was he a friend to the Valley? Was he a friend here? Want to talk a little bit about, would he be able to maintain, because if social media and if he were in the public eye today in 2013, and with the lifestyle that he led, would he be able to survive? Because from my understanding, if you think Bill Clinton was bad, the Kennedys had, they wreaked havoc on the women. So I want to talk about that a little bit. Listen, I'm going to take a real quick break, and then I'm going to come back and open up the phone lines and talk with Mark about this. Again, it is Open Mic Friday. We are having a conversation about – we're going to have a conversation about John at JFK because it will be 50 years. Can you believe it? It'll be 50 years coming up next week. And see, JFK died before I was born.
You see that? You never ask a lady her age, and this is a good way of
JFK died before I was born, so I've only read about it. I missed all that. And even if I had been born, I'd only been about, I was barely breathing. And so you're listening again to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5222. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back, and then I'm talking to Mark Colucci. We're talking about JFK. It's open mic. I want to hear from you. South Carolina's on the line, and I see Diva's in the chat room. So we're going to have a real good discussion.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A former Mahoning County Treasurer and County Democratic Party chairperson was just sentenced to 5 months in prison. Lisa Antonini failed to report money she received during her 2008 campaign. After her prison sentence is served, it'll be followed by 5 months home confinement. She reports to prison in early January. She asked the judge to serve her sentence at a federal prison near Youngstown. A grocery store in Boardman Township is closing its doors after 67 years of business. The Sparkle Market on Market Street will stay open until November 23rd. That's the last day of operation. The business has been family-owned and operated since 1946. And in Warren, a 31-year-old man is charged with child endangering after officials say he left his 16-month-old child home alone. The man already had several warrants, one for failing to register as a sex offender. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
The Cumulus Health Club and Gillette Nursing Home in Warren present today's health tip.
Finding a good nursing home takes good research. Every year, health inspection data, staffing, and quality measures are collected on more than 15,000 nursing homes. This data is combined to come up with an overall ranking of 1 to 5 stars. To find the information you need about nursing homes in our area, go to Medicare.gov and click on the Nursing Home Compare tool. Then, print out the nursing home checklist and visit the homes that you're considering. And make sure to ask if they engage in person-centered care and consistent assignment. Person-centered care allows residents to set their own schedules. Consistent assignment means that the same staff members treat the same patients on each shift. This helps reduce mistakes and helps staff members to develop lasting relationships with their residents.
Today's health tip has been brought to you by Gillette Nursing Home in Warren. Our love is homespun. Visit us online at gillettenursing-home.com.
The Cumulus Health Club and Dr. Wahib present today's health tip.
Being pregnant is an exciting and nervous time, but it's also a great opportunity to get the best medical care for you and your developing baby. Here are some important things you need to consider in choosing an OBGYN that's right for you. Any OBGYN that you see should be board certified. You should also ask about their level of experience in case your pregnancy becomes high risk. Another factor in choosing the right doctor is whether or not the person you're considering has hospital rights in the hospital where you're choosing to give birth. Also important is whether the doctor keeps weekend and evening hours in case of an emergency. Take your time and do your research. Finding the right OBGYN for you during your pregnancy will ease your mind and help toward delivering a healthy baby.
Today's health tip has been brought to you by Dr. Samir Wahib, recognized for providing outstanding medical and surgical care and specializing in women's health. Call 330-779-3901.
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish-made furniture and gifts, the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
If I I have to beg, plead for your sympathy. I don't mind, cause you mean that much to me. Ain't too proud to beg, and you know it. Please don't leave me, girl. Ain't too proud to plead.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And if you want to call locally, you can. The number is 961. 330-961. Oh, this is bad. I know the number, guys.
It's Friday.
Can I blame it on Friday?
Sure.
Okay, 330-781. Let's try that one more time. 330-781-9600. And I'm on a temptation day.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
I love it.
I do too. I am a Motown girl.
Motown, no doubt.
And when I first went to Los Angeles, the second place that I stopped was the Motown building.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
What a legacy. Huh?
It was the place to be. You know, I just had to be there.
No doubt.
And
Marvin Gaye, Four Tops.
Yeah, yeah. Smokey Robinson and
Singing Like an Angel.
And since we're talking about the Kennedys, that was their era, so I had to go there. I'll probably do a little James Brown.
Oh yeah.
Some of the OJs. Some of the OJs went back then at that time when we were allowed to commingle our music with white and black. And
yeah, which was controversial and
very much so.
I love Diana Ross. Was my
You were Supreme?
Oh yeah. No doubt.
Okay.
No doubt.
We'll do some Supremes before the day is up. Hey, South Carolina, your mic is on. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. How long have you had that phone number, Tracy?
Which one?
he's calling you on it. He's calling you.
South Carolina, you know, I found out with age, things change.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finding that out. But so now I can now sympathize with all of you older people.
Excuse me.
Remember when Kennedy died?
Yeah, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, I wasn't alive when Kennedy died. Thank you.
You weren't born either?
No.
Oh, because I wasn't born yet.
Yeah, a bunch of youngsters here.
Yeah, I haven't. You know, I read about it in the book.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Right in 63.
You weren't born in 63?
No, I wasn't born until almost in 65.
Yeah. Really? Mm-hmm. When's your birthday, South Carolina?
My birthday is September 1st.
You a baby.
Oh, you're older than me.
You're
still
a baby.
He's still older than me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you old people.
Oh, just 3 months.
That's okay. You're still older than me because at one time it really did count.
Absolutely.
So now I just let all my friends who I'm still older than you, I still tell them that you're still older than me. I understand it. I have a question for you guys. And then again, the number is 347-945-5229. We're getting a jump on the JFK assassination memorial. I don't call it an anniversary. I think it's called
call it the anniversary of his death. But
is it an anniversary or is it a ceremony or memorial of his death or 50 years later?
It's sort of a benchmark of a generation. You know, they refer to the assassination as a single event that broke the back of the American century and all the hope of the future generation and so forth that JFK represented. It just seems like the air came out of the balloon when he was assassinated, and then we tried to recover, and then there was Martin, and then there was Robert, and, you know, there's a lot of hope. We never really recovered from that sort of hope and energy. I just don't believe we did. I really don't.
I think it was intentional because everything. Mm-hmm. If you look at what happened in 1963, 1964, and 1965,
mm-hmm.
during that 3-year span,
mm-hmm.
it was pivotal to the turn of America.
We were at a crossroads. We were coming out the first post-war generation after World War II in Korea. And here is this young man, he's 43, he's Catholic, and largely a Protestant nation, and he's elected by the slimmest of votes. And he gives a speech at his inauguration that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans born in this century. That's hard to believe. you know, born in this century, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, and so on and so forth. And that's not what you can do, what your country could do for you, but what you can do for your country. That whole idea that it would be the youth, that it would be the Peace Corps, that it would be new ideas, that we would go to the moon.
That he would be progressive.
Right, exactly.
He pushed the progressive movement into the forefront.
He did, and he made a lot of enemies. And it's kind of funny, before I came over here, right now, today, in 1963, on November 15th, he gave a press conference where he made a commitment in 63 to pull all of the American soldiers out of Vietnam and end our involvement. And you say, well, we really weren't involved in 63. Well, we had the Green Berets there, we had advisors there, and he was putting the brakes on the Vietnam thing then, and a lot of people who are war profiteers, generals, intelligence community, that wasn't a, he didn't make any friends on that.
But let me ask this, because I look at Kennedy, and I'm going to slow this down just a little bit. Would he have been, because, you know, he was a Democrat.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not a fan of the Kennedys, because the Kennedys were major political opportunists. And that which we endear about them is in our own, we've created legends out of our own dreams,
mm-hmm.
or our own perceptions, Camelot.
Mm-hmm.
So everything was about perception, and they manipulated the media to reflect what they wanted you to do, what they wanted you to know, and how they wanted you to view them. So even during a very crazy time, he was royalty.
Well, you know, you make a good point, and I've thought about this. I know a lot about how Joe Kennedy came to power, how he made his money. He was very influential with FDR, how he had a dream to put one of his children in the White House. And I understand what happened, and it's a very dark history of that. He was certainly involved in a lot of things that you would frown upon. And even JFK, as we later found out in his personal life. So you say, well, how could this fella be like a shining example or Camelot? And really, he played two roles. There was the private JFK, and then when he put on the mantle of the president, he became a symbol. He became the president of the United States for the future generation, and you had Jackie Kennedy, and you had Pablo Picasso at the White House, and they even changed all the decorations.
They revamped the whole thing.
Sure. You had really the coming of age of that post-war baby boom generation into positions of leadership, and that's what he represented.
But inside the representation of that, what did, and I'm being very, what in the world did he do that was so great that, except for perception of image,
well,
that made him, you know, other presidents have died, but we have not spent this much time on because they died on a certain day 50 years later.
Well, I think what when JFK was assassinated and why we are still obsessed today, it's sort of like what could have been. And we were on the edge of moving into a new time, and all the hopes and all the dreams and all the young people he attracted and all the working people and the African-American community. Don't forget, we had a Protestant-based nation, and he never did, despite him going down to Houston, giving the speech about the separation of church and state, because there was a great fear that the Vatican would run the presidency. He did not sway that Protestant vote. The African-American vote came through for him after he jumped on the bandwagon that Robert Kennedy urged him to do.
But he didn't care about the African-American community. He was not an inclusionist. He did not want segregation to end.
No, Tracy, he was very much a pragmatic. He was all about obtaining power, not making waves. He made many phone calls. Now, I've been to the JFK library. I've researched everything. I've met Ethel Kennedy, Teddy Kennedy, Robert Kennedy Jr., and more about that later. I really know a lot about this entire part of history. But he was very pragmatic. And if it wasn't for Robert Kennedy, who had a passion for civil rights, he had to twist his brother's arm.
It wasn't a passion. It was a political strategy.
Well, it worked because remember, if you look at what happened, it was called the Blue Book.
Absolutely.
And it was about, because Nixon and Martin Luther King were friends.
Mm-hmm.
And Nixon was afraid of losing the South.
Absolutely.
And so what he did was he did not go and help out Martin Luther King while he was sitting in jail. And Kennedy went down there and helped him out as a political strategy and then came out with what they called the Blue Book and or a piece of paper to let everyone know that he was the one who actually helped Martin get out of jail. And it swung the vote, and he got in.
You bring up a great point in history, and just to elaborate on that, because I've heard the conversations, if you go to the Kennedy Library, if you're in Boston, you have to go, for the sake of history, to the JFK Library. But Robert Kennedy, JFK did not want to come out publicly, and the meeting was between Robert Kennedy and his brother, John, and Bobby said, well, could you at least call Coretta Scott King?
And he did.
And he did that. His eyes lit up. He said, yeah, this is a way I can get the word out on the grassroots level for the African Americans. And then he followed it up by many calls to the people in the South that were in office saying, you know, look, this is politics, blah, 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 and so forth. But he called her.
And he called her, and it worked.
It did work.
But it didn't help him, and it didn't help their cause.
Well,
even though they met with him, it was an opportunity. And as LBJ came in when he actually signed
the legislation, the Civil Rights Act.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
When he actually signed it, they didn't sign it because they cared. They signed it because of, you look at the numbers, and let's do it for the future. And what they did was they destroyed a complete community because they became enabled on a government who they thought loved them, that was doing nothing but using them through a political process.
Well, Tracy,
when I look at JFK, because I understand a lot of white people love me but don't love people that look like me.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that theory, and I know what that means.
Well, first and foremost, these were politicians. Never forget that. So your point is well taken. To do a profile of Kennedy, a psychological profile, I have my own thoughts on that. But certainly he was first and foremost, like Lyndon Johnson, a politician.
So how in the world can we – because we memorialize him and we endear, because inside of, especially when we were younger, in South Carolina, your mic is still up, and so is Alex and Diva. When we were younger, when I was young, you would go into, hundreds of homes, and the continuity of the homes were the pictures on the wall. You had Jesus,
mm-hmm.
who we have no clue who that guy was. You got the Last Supper. You had Martin Luther King and JFK.
I can take you right now in my car to Campbell, Ohio, where JFK spent a great amount of time in the Steel Valley. And you will still see in the VFW hall and in many homes in Campbell and in Youngstown on the wall those very portraits, John Kennedy, a crucifix or a picture of Jesus. He spent a tremendous amount of time here. And he lost Ohio. Yeah, that's the irony of it. One of the consolation prizes was...
I bet he won Mahoning Valley.
Well, he won the Valley, and we had a local businessman who really helped him, and we had a federal judge appointed out of that. Frank Battisti was appointed by Jack Kennedy at the request of a very well-known mall developer who was behind the Kennedy campaign at the time.
What mall developer was that? Was that Cafaro?
Mr. Cafaro.
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Cafaro.
Because he was very, very entrenched in that race.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, we might as well call it like we see it. It is, but the Cafaro's been around and been movers and shakers nationally for a very, very long time. This is not new.
Major players on the national scene, the Democratic Party, and now both sides.
Yes, they always had a hand in it, but they manipulated the Democratic process, especially here in the Valley.
Well, for sure.
I'll say it.
There
out
it
loud.
Is.
I mean, Anthony Nim, that's your dad. I love you. It ain't nothing personal. He was politically savvy, and that's what he did. And we need to say what. And the Moose made it happen locally. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 330-781-9600 or 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Attention taxpayers, if you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, it's a fact that they have the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, and even your freedom. If you've received a letter from the IRS, don't ignore it. Your problem will only continue to get worse. Here's the good news. The IRS has recently released new programs geared at helping struggling taxpayers where you may now qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe, including penalties and interest. If you're being audited, have years of unfiled tax returns, have a federal tax lien, or worse yet, are being issued a wage garnishment or bank levy, listen carefully. Authority Tax Services expert staff of ex-IRS agents, attorneys, and CPAs can immediately protect you from IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guarantee. Call 800-549-1435. That's 800-549-1435. 800-549-1435.
The Cumulus Health Club and the Blackburn Home present today's health tip.
The sense of balance typically gets worse with age. It can be further compromised by medical conditions and medications, or a lack of flexibility. For the elderly, poor balance can lead to falls, which are the leading cause of hip fractures. But the good news for people with poor balance is that regular walking can improve balance and prevent falls. Walking helps build lower body strength, an important element of good balance. In a good walking plan, the minutes count, not the miles. As you feel stronger and more comfortable, gradually add more minutes to your walk.
Today's health tip has been brought to you by the Blackburn Home, a nonprofit senior care home nestled on 3 beautiful acres in the heart of Poland Village. Unique in its small size, low price, and long-standing reputation, the Blackburn Home strives to maintain the wishes of its founder to provide loving care to those in the twilight of their life. Visit our website at blackburnhome.org. That's blackburnhome.org.
News Talk 600 is on iHeartRadio. iHeartRadio.com.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm.
Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 45 minutes after the hour, 12 o'clock, and I hope you're having a good day today. It's a wonderful day. The sun is shining here. The weather is beautiful, and things are just great. Mark Glutz is in studio with me. It's open mic. And I want to hear from you. We're talking about JFK. And you guys, you know, you guys, I guess you guys didn't realize I ain't a fan. I mean, you know, I'm just naive.
Well, you know, it's definitely, you know, the private man could kind of turn you off, but what he meant to the country.
What did he mean?
All that was forgiven. It was hope.
Why did we forgive him for it? What did he do? Who was he?
Well, I think he was a representative of change, hope and change, like Barack Obama.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yes.
But, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was listening to everything that was being said, and I'm like, I'm seeing all these parallels between, you know, John F. Kennedy and Barack Obama and the dream or the way folks just, you know, just made such a big deal out of it. I mean, I tried to figure out, you know, what was the big deal with him anyway, just like I'm trying to figure out what's the big deal with Obama. So.
Well, if you just, you know, look at Bill Clinton and Barack Obama fashioned themselves after the JFK was just embedded into the minds of a generation that are still here. And if you look at Kennedy's, he had kids in the White House crawling around the Oval Office. He had brought culture and art. Look at his record, the Cuban Missile Crisis. Nixon's in there, we go in and bomb Cuba. They had battlefield nuclear weapons. We have an exchange. Kennedy, you know, really saved the world, brought the world back through back channeling from the brink of destruction. So you have the Cuban Missile Crisis, you have the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, you have Let's Go to the Moon, you have the Peace Corps. And, you know, he did this all in 1,000 days. He came out and stopped the steel industry from hiking prices. He was a very moderate when it came. He was a friend of business. So, and you had Jackie Kennedy. Don't discount her. This country was more in love with her than him.
Well, that's
true.
She
was something. She was something.
So tell me, the people like Michelle Obama more than they like the president too.
Well, again, she's dynamic. She's not up there, you know. She's the first lady. She's doing some good things, some safe things politically, and she's very popular. I wouldn't rule out. And look at Hillary Clinton.
You wouldn't rule out what? Her running for
office? Michelle Obama. I wouldn't rule that out. I mean, these
are
young.
Her doing what?
These are young people. Barack Obama and Michelle. They're young people. I mean, they have careers ahead of them.
Let me take. Hold on, South Carolina. Let me take a local call. Local call. Your mic is on.
Hey, good morning, Tracy. Well, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I can remember what I was doing then. I was 6 years old. I was sitting at the bowl. Excuse me. I was sitting at the table eating a bowl of oatmeal because my mother kept me home that day because I was sort of sick. But, you know, you can definitely tell that there was something wrong with that. I mean, it was conspiracy all the way around because, to me, they never should have been able to get up on Oswald like that, first of all. That's the thing that caught my eye. You know what I'm saying? I mean, as bad, as much as people hated that man for killing John F. Kennedy, how in the world did they manage to let people get that close up on him? It was something with that. You know, then the autopsy, and then come to find out he got shot twice. He got shot twice, you know. People saw a puff of smoke coming up from the side of the fence. It was three. He got shot at three times from what I saw, but he only got hit two times. So it was definitely was a conspiracy, ain't no doubt in my mind. You know, and you know something, the more I look at it, every time I look at that, I see something else. So,
well, you make a good point. Let me just say this. If you were around back then, and let's say that you had an accident or illness and you went into a coma for a couple of days and then you come out, here comes your friend and they say, you know what, the president was shot and killed in Dallas. Oh, really? Well, who did it? Well, they think Oswald. Well, what does he have to say? Well, he's not around. What do you mean he's not around? A guy named Ruby came into the Dallas Police Department while he was in custody for killing the president, and Ruby shot the assassin. What? How did they let him in? And, oh, by the way, the autopsy, the notes that were taken he tosses it in the fire. Why? Oh, blood was on the notes. Well, here's a doctor, a pathologist. Blood was going to scare somebody. I mean, there are so many theories, but one thing, the consensus today is this, and I actually know somebody who was a young lawyer on the Warren Commission, a judge in Cleveland, who I had a lot of discussions with. The Warren Commission was a complete whitewash. People today know, first of all, they did not have all of the evidence. The CIA concealed and sealed a lot of the evidence. If you listen, go on YouTube and listen to the audio conversations between Johnson and Hoover when they're picking members to be investigators on the Warren Commission. You listen to that and tell me if chills don't go up your spine. It goes something like this. Johnson would throw out a name. Hoover would say, good man, good man. Johnson would throw out another name. Nah, he's going to want to go left and right. They were stacking the deck on this. They already decided within minutes Oswald acted alone, and then they had to back everything into that. The Warren Commission had to come to that finding. And the commission was flawed. They had eyewitnesses, shots from the grassy knoll, hearing different shots. I mean, you could see all of this on YouTube through the use of technology. These testimonies were preserved. They had to ignore all that. They would not call witnesses. Witnesses disappeared. In 76, the House in Washington with Representative Stokes conducted another investigation on assassinations and concluded the Warren Commission was flawed and there probably was a conspiracy. So
let's be conspiracy theorists for a minute here. The number is 347-945-5229. Six, your mic is open. Tell me this. With all the technology and all the information we have, and I think there was a book written by a young man, it came out maybe 2 weeks ago, about JFK assassination, and he brought up all this information. I think, was it out? Was it Mark? Who wrote the book? There was a book on...
Well, Mark Lane.
Mark Lane?
Well, he re-released his book, but there's been over 40,000 books.
I'm talking about in the last week. In the last week, he was all over everywhere.
I'm trying to remember because a lot of people came out within the last week, and I think I know what you're talking about.
Didn't somebody just come out and say that they had... like personal letters and stuff from family members that were in the mob or something?
Well, let me tell you this story, and it's the first time I'm going to tell anybody, and this is a good show to do it on, and I trust Tracy. And by the way, if you look today, there are photographs that came out just today of somebody who held on to them for 50 years. Their children found it. These are perfect photographs minutes before the assassination were published today in a newspaper from a fellow who moved to New Zealand. I still think there are Zapruder films out there, not just Abe's, but As to the mob connection, you know the history there. Robert Kennedy pursued these people. The father had an agreement. They helped JFK win the West Virginia primary. Sam Giancana shared a girlfriend with the president. But let me tell you a personal story. When I was practicing in Cleveland, and I could tell you this because the lawyer is deceased and his father is deceased. The lawyer, his father was probably the number two man in the Midwest organized crime syndicate. Now, these mobsters, their children did not become mobsters. They were doctors, lawyers, dentists. This person, who was a very good friend of mine, and he passed, he said to me, and this is the only time he ever said anything about his father's business. He said, you know what, Mark? One day I asked my dad about this, these rumors about the Kennedy assassination. And this was the only time he ever answered me and talked about any of his business. And I asked him, was the mob involved? And he looked me in the eye and said, Sam Giancana, Carlos Marchella. And that's right from the horse's mouth. And there's an argument to be made there. But I think one thing is for certain, that now the Warren Commission, if you tried to introduce that as evidence in a trial, they'd throw it out. It is so flawed the way they did it. And I think the consensus I talked about is even both sides, whether you believe Oswald acted alone or there was another shot, another gunman, we all know that that commission was corrupted from the beginning as it was picked by Johnson and Hoover. And let me say this. You can actually go on YouTube. Lyndon Johnson himself was interviewed in 1969, and he went out of his way to say, well, the commission tried to do the job. But he also said he was never convinced that Oswald acted alone. He thought that there was international involvement, and at that time it was Cuba. Kennedy had tried to use the mob to assassinate Cuba, or Castro, as everyone knows. And there were rogue elements down there, and certainly Oswald was a sympathizer, being a Marxist. And you have all those people with motives to do what they did. And, you know, another thing that bothers me is, why would Oswald say I was a patsy? Of all things to say, he could have said I didn't do anything, I'm not guilty. He uses the very term patsy, and there's a lot of books out about how he was handled by the CIA and by certain elements and so on and so forth. But organized crime, what I say is, picture a dartboard. In the middle you have the bullseye. And so in the middle, where you get the most points, I place Oswald, Hoover, people there that day. And as each ring goes by, FBI, CIA, I put them in the next ring. And then you have the conspiracy authors are in the outer ring. And there's always connections and, you know, that old game, 6 degrees of separation. But it's not until you hit the bullseye where the most points are that you really get down to what this is. This is a murder that was not properly investigated. Evidence was withheld by the FBI. Stories were changed. Witnesses were they disappeared. They were killed. Their testimonies were disregarded. And this is all preserved now. We could see these on YouTube and other social media.
And do we not think that they don't do that again today? Let me go pick a stick. Your mic's on.
Okay. And don't they have isn't there a connection to the Federal Reserve in this, too? Didn't President Kennedy sign, or wasn't he going to sign an executive order either auditing or disbanding the Fed?
Well, that's a very strong the answer is yes, and that is a very strong. That his comments about the Vietnam War, his comments about the Fed, and his comments privately after the Bay of Pigs, where he thought they embarrassed him, that he was going to smash the CIA into a million pieces, those were the three elements that they think had the best motive. But, yes, he was going to tinker with the Fed, and you know, I've listened to you enough on this program, Styx. You know what you're dealing with and who you're dealing with when you're talking about that. So,
well, yeah,
you know, they
threatened to destroy Reagan, too.
Absolutely. They pulled the strings from behind. A guy like Oswald, in my view, was a patsy.
So, again, why? And let me take my break. I'm at the top of the hour. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, or you can call us locally at 330-781-9600. I'll be right back.
the rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish-made furniture and gifts, the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Turns out you can use the Internet to get a free quote on state minimum car insurance from Safe Auto. Just go to safeauto.com and see for yourself. The best part? It's quick and easy. You can also call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Drive safe, spend less.
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daniela Bellotta. Saying the Obama administration can't be trusted to fix the health care law, Republicans are pushing a bill sponsored by Congressman Fred Upton of Michigan.
Our straightforward one-page bill says if you like your current coverage, you should be able to keep it.
But Democratic Congressman Jim McDermott thinks the bill is premature.
My mother used to say patience is a virtue. I haven't seen so much panic on this floor since 9/11.
The House is expected to vote on the measure shortly. Meanwhile, the president has invited heads of insurance companies to the White House today.
The insurance industry was the first to shrug off President Obama's health care fix, claiming that extending those old policies is destabilizing to the markets, which have been preparing for years for the new insurance exchanges. Now, the CEOs of major health insurance companies are coming in late today to sit down with the president and talk about the marketplaces. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
A white homeowner in suburban Detroit has been charged for shooting a 19-year-old black woman in the face when she apparently came to his house looking for help. But Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy says
the charging decision has nothing whatever to do with the race of the parties. Whether it becomes relevant later on in the case, I don't know. I'm not clairvoyant.
Theodore Wafer says he thought that Renisha McBride was a burglar. A New Jersey town is paying tribute to its most famous son.
His family, friends, and fans were shocked by his death in June. Now James Gandolfini's hometown is going to honor the Sopranos star by naming a street after him. The borough of Park Ridge, New Jersey, will name part of its Park Avenue James Gandolfini Way. In the area of the Ridge Diner, which proudly displays an autographed picture of Gandolfini, Gandolfini attended Park Ridge High School with borough administrator Kelly O'Donnell, who tells NJ.com the idea came from a Facebook page started by Gandolfini's fans. The naming ceremony will take place December 1st. David Blaustein, ABC News.
This is ABC News.
Are you living with pain, joint pain, headaches, muscle aches, back aches? I was. I'm Barry Yarconi, CEO of Inaprin. For me, it was pain from a nasty fall, and I wanted safe, fast relief. That's when I discovered the extraordinary pain relief benefits of hops, the same plant used to flavor beer. I was stunned by how fast it worked, so we created all-natural Inaprin, made with no harmful chemicals and backed by 15 years of research. It works for you in just 1 hour, not days or weeks. Find out how well Vinoprin relieves your pain for free. Call 800-600-1069 in the next 10 minutes for a free sample pack. There are no tricks or gimmicks, no obligation, no automatic shipments. Just $1 covers the postage, and the Vinoprin is free. This is a limited-time offer, so call 800-600-1069. That's 800-600-1069. Or visit Vinoprin.com today. That's Vinoprin.com.
Where, oh where, did dogs come from and when? That's the current debate in the journal Science. Here's ABC's Larry Jacobs with the tale.
The debate on where dogs come from has been going on for years. While earliest known dog-like fossils come from Europe, DNA studies have implicated Asia and the Middle East. Now, a bigger DNA study in the journal Science suggests human's best friend did indeed originate in Europe as long as 32,000 years ago. Most scientists agree that dogs emerged from wolves, although that kind of wolf is now extinct. The study's author says based on genetic evidence, there are three alternative hypotheses for the origin of dogs. Larry Jacobs, ABC News.
Turkey and all the trimmings will cost you a little less this year. But don't expect to have enough to buy a cup of coffee on the way to Black Friday sales. The American Farm Bureau Federation says the average Thanksgiving dinner will cost $49.04. That's just 44 cents less than last year. Daniela Bellotta, ABC News.
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish-made furniture and gifts. The Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
Hey, Dave. Be extra nice to Jim. He's had a really bad week, so he'll be super stressed.
Okay. Hey, guys. Beautiful day for golf. I'm up.
Wow. I guess your back's feeling better.
Fantastic. He looks pretty relaxed to me.
I know. Jim, heard you lost a big account at work.
It happens.
And your daughter totaled your new car?
You know, teenagers.
Jim, you seem too relaxed. Are you on anti-anxiety medication or what?
Every night, in my backyard.
Your backyard?
In my new hot spring spa. It does wonders for my sore muscles, and it's a great way to relax and let stress just melt away.
Maybe a hot spring spa would help me.
I've seen your scorecard. You could use all the help you can get.
Stress reliever? Backyard masseuse? Athletic coach? When will a hot spring spa be for you?
Visit Burnett Pools to find out how easy it can be to relax in your own hot spring spa or view us online at burnettpools.com.
We've got it all!
This is what your government thinks. Same people that didn't realize a war on terror existed.
Now they're saying it's over.
Somebody tell the terrorists that.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and I'm in studio with a friend of mine, Mark Colucci. And he called me up and said, I want to talk about JFK. You know, he's going to be dead 50 years. And I'm like, okay, Jeff's not going to be here, so we can talk about that. And I have such a major issue with what's going on in the political arena today. And I look at today and I look at JFK and I see them parallel.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're very, very manufactured. Mm-hmm. I think that JFK, even though he was the president and it was pivotal, the pendulum that swung did not swing in a good direction. Mm-hmm. Because even with the Peace Corps, we have all these words, these organizations, and they sound real good. But at the end, it's taken away a lot of accountability of the American people. You know, I think they live on rewriting history. I mean, you have people out there that have no idea about what Kennedy stood for.
Well, a couple of thoughts. Kennedy was the first president to really take advantage of the television generation. I mean, the election, things happening after, he gave many, many press conferences, which was a first. He was on television. His family was on television. So he was our first modern sort of high-tech president, and he ran his campaign like that, too, with the commercials and so forth, entering primaries, which was unheard of. I think there's a lot of nostalgia. People look back on that as a very hopeful time, and again, it's what could have been. Now, if you're referring to maybe his progressive agenda and the Peace Corps, I disagree. I don't buy into this whole Ronald Reagan type, you know.
I didn't say Ronald Reagan.
Pull yourself up by the pants and, you know, do it yourself. I don't believe in it. I think there has to be a public-private partnership to help people that need help. I don't believe that anyone should take advantage of it. But I just think what Kennedy was, frankly, a moderate. He was not a liberal, like a Johnson liberal. He was a moderate on fiscal policy. He was a person who was a cold warrior when he came in. He talked to the campaign on the missile gap. Yet he was the first one to recognize that we could not live in a nuclear world. And he took the lead on the test ban treaty on above-ground testing of nuclear. You know, they had over 1,000 nuclear bombs blown off in the atmosphere before he had the test ban treaty. And so I think he was moving in a direction of knowledge and education and exploration and, you know, moving to past that World War II generation and into the future. And that was him. And he's cut down by an assassin's bullet. And I don't think we really ever went through the grieving process of accepting what happened and grieving it and moving on. We are like in an arrested development of the grieving process.
But in that process, let me ask you this question. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. South Carolina, your mic is on. You can jump in anytime you like. Diva and Alex are yours. Just jump in. Tell me, would John F. Kennedy then, would he be a Democrat today?
Yeah, I think he still would because he, you know, being raised, basically, they were multimillionaires at a time when no one had that sort of money. And so his father instilled in him that too much has been given, much is required, and public service and helping the common man and so forth. I don't see him being a Republican at all. I see him being a Democrat, a people's president, much like Clinton tried to portray himself. And much like the president's tried to portray himself now.
So they were very wealthy.
Extremely wealthy.
But they weren't public servants. They were in the business of politics.
Right.
But they weren't public servants. There's a difference.
Well, you know, that argument could be made. They thought serving the public, being in politics, but, you know, it's all about power, influence, money. But there was an element of, you know, giving something back. I mean, he wanted to go into the newspaper business, and he planned to do that when he retired, but he was, you know, he felt it was his time when he came out of the war to run for Congress. He was pushed by his grandfather, who was the mayor of Boston, Honey Fitz, and his father. People forget, Joe Kennedy was the ambassador to the court of St. James. He was an Irishman in the middle of England, you know, during the war, on the Security Exchange Commission. FDR, frankly, sent him over to England because he thought he was going to run for president. Now, Joe Kennedy wanted his eldest son to run. He was killed when he went on a high-risk mission in World War II, and so it was Jack's turn. He wanted his son to capture the White House and to make a name for the Kennedy family and to establish a dynasty.
And he did.
And he did. And he had Ted Kennedy come along and Robert Kennedy come along.
But at the sacrifice of the country.
Well, I don't know about that. I would disagree. I don't see any where the country suffered. I think he tried to do the right thing. People forget. I mean,
he tried to do the right thing doing what?
Civil rights.
He wasn't trying to. That wasn't the right. He wasn't trying to do the right thing. He was doing what was convenient.
Well,
if you go back into the late 50s, he was adamantly against it, and his father had nothing to do with it.
Well, Tracy, I mean, you know, he was political opportunism. I mean,
yes.
You know, it was a way to lock in the African American vote and pretty much secure the election. And that's what he did. I mean, we see the same thing. And that one move secured the African American vote from that point on.
I have a question. I have a question for your guest.
Go ahead.
My question is, back when Kennedy was a senator and civil rights was first brought up, please correct me if I'm wrong, the reason why he voted against it was because civil rights was tearing the Democrat Party apart. And in order to save the party, he decided to vote against it, and not because he didn't believe in civil rights or he didn't like black people.
Well, you know, the argument at the time was they would lose the South. I mean, Johnson even made a comment, there goes the South for the next 100 years. So the timing wasn't quite right when he was in the Senate. They would have lost their Southern base of the party, and they thought they could not win a national election without the South. So that is a good, very good point that you bring up. But, I mean, he could have pulled a Machiavelli and chose something else. I mean, in the end, in the final analysis, like he was fond of saying, you know, he did introduce that legislation and went further than the Eisenhower legislation that was proposed.
But what good did it do? Because when I look at it now in retrospect, I ain't promising it was. I'm not a Goldwater fan, even though I'm a Republican. But yet, did Goldwater have some insight during that time? Because remember, you have to understand there was a conversation that went on and said that people of color were not prepared, nor were people of non-color prepared for integration. So here we have this great civil rights movement. We have all this legislation for integration. And when you look at it 50 years later, was it beneficial to the American process?
Well, you know, from the standpoint of African Americans who obtained the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, the anti-discrimination, I think that, you know, and they're trying to roll that back today. I mean, they're, you know, this civil rights battle is still going on. There's a
reactionary. No, you said roll it back. What are they rolling back?
Well, look at the, Republicans.
What we roll back?
Oh, look at South Carolina and a lot of the other states. The Republicans are trying to rig the make it harder for minorities to vote.
That's not what they're trying to do.
Oh, no.
Absolutely not.
I'm in South Carolina.
Oh, come on.
So let me ask you this.
Scott in Florida, Pennsylvania.
Was there voter suppression in Ohio?
Absolutely.
Are you crazy?
Absolutely.
You got 35 days to vote. Not one Democrat voted for it.
Well.
Come on.
Let me concede that. Look at Florida. Look at Pennsylvania. Look at the ALEC. Look at the Koch brothers. Look at the funding of that movement. They're trying college kids. Early voting. They're trying to roll all of that back.
Because the early voting needs to be rolled back because there's too much collusion in it.
Voter IDs.
You need to have one.
And?
The impact.
Come on.
The impact on minorities and seniors.
No, it doesn't impact.
Adverse.
It does not impact in minorities and or seniors. Neither one. You got rent to own. The only people that it may hurt are homeless people, and we can work that out. As a matter of fact, we need to make it to where you can actually, just as a taxpayer, you can have a free ID.
But they won't, and courts have disagreed with your position.
What'd you say, South Carolina?
In South Carolina, Governor Haley offered a free rides to get a free ID in the whole state. Only 25 people took her up on it.
I can't listen to you talk about Governor Haley, who's probably one of the most right-wing extremist governors in the entire country. So she gives you one little thing, and then on the other hand, she takes it away.
I live in South Carolina.
When
you look at IDs, if you come here to pick up a ticket to go to a free concert, you must show me an ID. It makes no sense in days like today that you do not have some type of ID to prove that you live where you live. Just that simple. I never heard any voter suppression all year long in 2013. Can you tell me why?
Well, they're working. Believe me, they're working on legislation.
No. This year, when we voted twice this year. We voted in May. We voted in November. Why did we not hear of any voter suppression this year?
Well, it wasn't a presidential election.
No.
Higher turnouts.
Hold on. Higher turnouts?
You had mayor's races. You had school board races. Things that's going to impact your life every day. Why did nobody scream voter suppression?
Well, again, the focus of that was on a presidential year.
It was a game. It was a game,
well,
Mark,
think,
and we can disagree, and I agree to disagree. But it was a game.
Well, I need to
mobilize all you black people to the voting polls to get you guys to get up and stand in line in the rain and snow and sleet and hail, because they're going to put y'all back in chains if you don't come out.
Well, you know, there's an argument to be made. I understand what you're saying. But I think to say that black people are only voting because they're afraid their benefits are going to be taken away.
Did you see the turnout this year of the mayor's race?
Well, that's...
Did you see the turnout this year in the school? No, this is across the state. Mm-hmm. Did you see the turnout? Why did they scare the hell out of them this year to make sure that if you don't go back, you're going to lose your property?
Well, I just say off election years, you're going to have a lower turnout traditionally.
So there's no voter suppression? Come on. You can't tell me they didn't manipulate the process.
You need an ID system that can catch up in time for the next presidential election. You can't disenfranchise people. And if they had a way to get an ID that's acceptable, but some of the draconian legislation in some of these states is ridiculous.
But you said repeal it back. When I look at the Civil Rights Act of and being repealed in the Supreme Court, is there right? You don't need to have legislation on just 9 states. If you're going to have legislation, have them on all 50 states. But not just 9
but
or 7
was,
states.
Hold on. Come on.
I've got 40 tenants, okay? And in order for me to even to take the application for these people, they've got to show me a birth certificate, a Social Security card, and a picture ID before they can get an apartment. So I've got 40 tenants, and everybody, all of them are over 62. Everybody's got their ID.
You can't get a Social Security. You can't get your Social Security. You can't get your Medicaid. You can't get your Medicare. You can't get anything without an ID. You got to have an ID just to go and be poor.
You can't.
Well, once they have all that on file now, you don't have to continuously show it every time you go to use your benefits or pick up benefits or something like that.
How many people?
Let's not be disingenuous and act like this is just about photo ID, because in a lot of these states now they're getting specific about ID. You know, you can have your hunter's license, but you can't use your college ID. You can have a gun license, your picture ID for your gun carry permit, but you can't use another type of ID. So it's not just about ID. They know what they're doing. And for you to sit up here and act like this isn't a game also, it could be considered a game on both sides. But to say, no, it's not a game on the right, too,
they're trying to roll back civil rights legislation. That
they
was the comment.
They are.
They're not.
They are. And I'm sorry, but as a black person, and you being black, and South Carolina being black, and understanding that there are still some very racist people who can still be in power and try to stop people who they don't like or disagree with from voting, and to say, no, that no longer happens in these certain states.
They're not trying to get you to vote because they care about your vote. They're getting you
to
vote because
they're trying to get me to vote because they care about my vote. I don't care.
Yes,
I don't
you
look
do.
At it like that.
It's not about not caring to vote because they care about your vote and about you voting. The reason why they want you to vote is because they understand they brainwashed you already on how you're going to vote. That's why they don't care how you vote in off-year elections, because they already know how it's going to run. That's the problem.
Well, I think it's not
making it seem like the left is the only one playing.
Go ahead.
I don't think it's unreasonable to have some sort of verification system. My point is, don't change the rules in the middle of the game. There needs to be time to comply with that. Don't have Pennsylvania come out in the election year and say you need this, this, and this, when they know darn well it's going to result in less minorities and elderly and disenfranchised and homeless traditional Democrats getting to the polls.
Well, it's going to result, and I'm going to tell you what it is going to result in. It's going to result in a fair and honest count instead of an inflated, corrupt count. That's the problem.
Well, we're not going to have Karl Rove coming on Fox asking for them, hey, your numbers must be wrong. I mean,
well,
look.
But, and I, want, I don't want to get, because I'm not a Karl Rove fan like that. But what I'm saying, and what I'm saying is, but they're not calling it saying that we're trying to, saying that Republicans and or conservatives or whomever is trying to roll back civil rights, that's not true.
I think it is. I really do.
It is
look
true.
Look at the American Legislative Exchange Council. Tell me on a state-by-state basis, funded by Koch, the Koch brothers, from Walker to the rest of the crew, tell me they are not involved in not only gerrymandering but figuring a way to cut the traditional base of the Democratic voter. They can't win on numbers alone.
It's not – listen. They may be trying to cut the base of the Democrat voter.
They are.
But listen to what I'm saying. But the Democrats are not trying to get you to vote because they care about your vote.
Well, politicians, that's a whole other argument. They want to win elections.
And this is what it's about. It's about winning elections and influencing people and getting your vote. Well, but it's not about because they care about the Americas.
I blame all of us because we don't hold these people's feet to the fire. The whole system, it's broken. You got to start over. This thing, the lobbyists and the money interests, they run the country. They don't, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, they stay up at night thinking about the average person. It's not. But when you have a choice between somebody like Mitt Romney, and things haven't even come out about him, and Barack Obama, I'm sorry, you need an opportunity.
But Mitt Romney, nothing's come out about Barack Obama. The hell, we don't tell the truth on either one of them, or none of them, if you want to know the truth of the matter.
Well, we have five media organizations,
and they're
now.
All
That's
bought,
about it.
And they are all bought and paid, and it was done by both Democrats and Republicans inside of the FCC with the legislation that they passed through Bill Clinton and a Republican Congress.
Well, there's something
it,
to be said not. About that, and Fox News is out there, and all the look at the radio, look at the right wing talk shows that are purchased by corporate money. I mean, how many Rush Limbaughs and Mark Levins? These people are absolutely insane.
They haven't bought me yet.
Do you even watch Al Sharpton, Rachel Maddow, and some of those shows? And they're
yes,
not
they
bought?
Well,
come
I think
now.
It's on both sides.
Rachel, it's on both sides. Rachel Maddow put up a daggone video talking about the veterans and had a guy out there that she had cut into that they put in there, had a racial a Confederate flag and the American flag waving in front of the White House. Totally separate video from a totally separate time, and she stuck it in there just to try and make them look bad, just to try and make them look like, oh, there's a white guy in front of the White House waving a Confederate flag. They're liars, man, and you guys are
I think
supporting
both sides,
that. It's okay.
No, both sides are guilty of partisan media, but it's a shame when I have to go to the BBC or some foreign news outlet to get news about what's really happening in this country.
But again, would it be news? But when we talk about politics and rolling back civil rights, they're not concerned about African Americans and the civil rights movement because they don't even enact them. They're not the ones even actually taking the legislation that they bought, because the only ones doing that is the gays and the women. Black people are not even engaged in the process. Am I lying?
Is it fair to say that no one should be fighting for what is happening?
You're not even engaged in the process. They don't care about black people in America anymore. They already own you.
It's
that's
politics.
The problem.
Exactly.
You can argue
exactly.
about politics, Tracy, but you can't argue the fact that, oh, because they don't care about you and they don't really care about your vote, that this is not happening. It is
happening.
And what
I'm saying is not happening.
It's not happening. This is how they motivate you. This is how they motivate you. They tell you a lie. Oh, they're trying to take away your vote. Oh, they're trying to take away your food stamps. Oh, they're trying to take away your Obama phone.
The
and that'll get you out and motivate
happen.
You.
So the case that went in front of the Supreme Court regarding the Civil Rights Act did not happen.
Would you rather they take away your civil rights? Would you rather they do all those
but
things?
But they already done it. I mean, they don't need – you're not even enacting your rights with a civil right. So who cares if you have it or not, because you're not utilizing it. The people that are utilizing civil rights right now are gays and women.
Well, that's the new
– that's it.
Those
black people out there, you are already controlled. And we need to marginalize them. But you can't marginalize what you already own.
They've given it to them, Tracy. They've just not taken away. It's given away.
Well, am I hearing there's an indictment on the black voter being a super low information voter? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Okay. What would be the solution to that? What would be the solution to that?
To quit politicizing them and wake them up and quit mobilizing them and telling them that it's about you, because, as a matter of fact, it's not about black people.
But it could be. It could be about
everybody has a vote, and people need to start getting tuned in. The reason why they don't vote is because they have marginalized them, and they only mobilize them when they want them. When they don't want them, then everything is good.
Then they've given up.
No, they haven't given up. I need you when I need you. It's like calling up your girlfriend who's a prostitute. I'm going to call you when I want you, and when I don't, I'm going to send you home.
We're prostitutes
now, Tracy.
Yes. Yes. No, you're not even a prostitute.
You
you're a girlfriend. You're a girlfriend. You're not even. You, listen, prostitutes at least get
paid
up front. You don't even get paid.
You're not getting paid.
But, I mean, whose fault is that?
Okay, so then we're just whores.
No, it's not there. It's not there. It's the process's fault because they have manipulated the process.
So is the solution to provide some sort of, to make it a little bit harder to vote?
No, it's not making it harder to vote. It's making you understand what your vote is.
Well, voter ID laws, how would that help bring
the blacks back into the political process if they don't want to vote now? Because right now, I can go and vote for you, and who cares if you go vote?
I mean,
Mark,
how does voter ID solve the
Listen, I can go, right now, I can walk in without a voter ID,
mm-hmm.
and I can vote for myself. And then I can go to my mom's precinct and I can go vote for her. Mm-hmm. I can find her name just as well as she can.
Do you think with voter ID laws, the participation of blacks in the process will go up or down?
No, but it will alleviate as many illegals as we have in America.
Which will inure to the benefit of the Republican Party.
Neither one.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this.
Neither one. Neither one. Because if the Republicans come up with legislation that's going to benefit...
They're trying. They want to outlaw college kids from voting in the Northeast, in Maine.
Huh?
No, in Maine and New Hampshire.
What do you mean they want to outlaw college kids?
Absolutely. They said
are they over 18?
Yes, but they don't know enough about issues. You have
That's crazy.
Well,
you know,
believe me, I have some friends
going for
crazy
people do crazy things. But don't make it to where it's a black-white issue, because those college kids are not black.
Which is a whole other subject.
Yeah. You understand? They're not black, so don't worry about them voting, because
they're
little white kids that have our privilege that are in New England schools.
Eliminating the Democratic base. That's what it boils down to. Whittling down
it's
the Democratic
base. More than a
Democrat
base. It's about control. And if you are not an American citizen, you should not have the privileges and the rights to vote. But then I have a problem with you going in and voting, and you don't know the difference between the president, the vice president, and Congress.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. I'm going to vote for the person that I see and I want. I don't have to know all that. I know who I want to see in office. You want somebody to pass a civics test before they can vote.
No, Viva, this is not Viva. About passing the civics test. You need to know what you're voting on because vote with outcomes have consequences.
A person is going to vote according to their pocketbooks.
Crazy.
No, they're not.
Diva posted on her web on her case of low information voters. They voted for a guy because of his name. They assumed that he was a cousin of this other guy and voted out another guy that had been in office for 24 years, the guy that they really liked. But now they put another guy in there. You posted it the other day, Diva, and it was a perfect example of being a low information voter. The guy that they voted in was a white guy. In a predominantly black area.
Well, I mean,
but they voted in the white guy just strictly on his name.
But they just voted
a
judge out strictly on their name here in the state of Ohio.
I think we all share the concern that this country is definitely moving in the wrong direction. I mean, everything is dumbed down. People don't read books. People don't want to go to higher education. People want to watch these ridiculous TV shows. I'm concerned about the actual social fabric of the country. It's a race to the bottom. There just isn't a doubt. But if you're talking about the Republicans, I think their bigger problem is the Tea Party and the demographics of younger voters. And they are going to have to cut the base of the Democrats to compete with
that. But that's not even so much cutting. It's a numbers game. It's not about cutting. But right now, the Tea Party is not a problem. It's an issue. problem.
I think the Tea Party is going to spell the end of the GOP.
Absolutely not.
Never win another national election.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You can't even have John Boehner can't even run his own house. He's got the Tea Party holding him hostage.
But again, that's a whole other issue. I mean, somebody will come there and coalesce this. Boehner may not be the speaker to make that happen.
These people are stubborn. I got a different take on the Tea Party.
But the Tea Party, and most of the Tea Party people are well intended, but very, very ignorant. All they are is another part of. They're very, very politically ignorant. They have no clue how this works, and they don't know how to engage in the process to make the wheels move. It is what it is.
And they're mostly white.
I understand it. And you can equate them to the other black community.
What does that have to do with anything?
Within the Democrat Party.
I think you're going to see a third party, the Tea Party.
I doubt it.
Oh, I don't know.
I doubt it. Because, again, the organization, if you look at the organization of the two major parties in this country, they are entrenched into law and code. And they do not have the organization to actually be able to manipulate the actual electoral college to organize it enough.
Thought that the Democratic-Republican Party or the Democratic-Republican, as they split off, would last as long, too. And they weathered the storm. They had their problems, but they weathered. So I have to agree with Mark. I believe the Tea Party, with the backing of such things as the Koch brothers, will rise as a third party, which will tear the Republican Party apart.
And I will say this. The Koch brothers are not going to do that for its entirety you can call up Colorado and tell them that Tracy said this, because there's not enough. There's not enough influence and impact to make it happen, and unless they can actually, because the Tea Party people are not of one mind and one thought. They're all over the place. And they are not an organized, they're not an organized infrastructure to make it happen nationwide.
Yet.
They won't do it.
Yeah.
Because if you look at them, even here in the state of Ohio, they have no clue how the process works. So if anything, they will implode based upon their lack of knowledge and their thirst for power.
That's quite an indictment of their intelligence factor.
Any
of them out there, I'd like them to call in.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. And so it is what it is. You can equate them to the black community inside of the Democrat process. Yes, they'll be there. Yes, they'll make some noise. Yes, they'll stir some feathers. But when the deal goes down, they will be marginalized just like the black community.
And you can say, you heard it here, and I said it out loud. Isn't himself a Tea Party person? Isn't he part of the Tea Party, South Carolina?
He was. He left. Go ahead, Covina man.
That's my man.
Covina man.
He's hiding out
there. He's hiding. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. No, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of the vote.
Leave the mics open. Hello?
Hey, Diva. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Hi, Alex. I'm happy because I can distinguish you in Alabama now. I used to get you guys mixed up, but you're so much more calmer than he is.
No, okay.
How do you stay so calm?
You have to. That's what a libertarian spirit does. It keeps you calm, you know.
Yeah. But have you always been calm all your life?
Yeah, I have. Well, at least that's what most people say. Yeah. Yeah, I don't like to get too flustered about stuff because it's just not that serious.
Yeah, I try not to, but I try not to. So what do you think about the conversation?
Well, I think that I don't think the Tea Party is going to become its own party or whatever. I think the closest people to doing that is the Libertarian Party. As I know, in the last election, I know, like, in key states like Ohio, Gary, you know, libertarians, and particularly Gary Johnson, did okay up there in this last election in Virginia, I think, for the governor or whatever. He got 8% of the vote. And so it may not seem like anything.
I heard him on MSNBC. I like him.
Yeah. And so the problem is, if you ask everybody, I mean, whether they're Democrat or Republican, most people, you know, they like libertarian ideals. If you ask people, well, do you want the government intruding on your civil liberties? Like, well, no. Okay, well, that's libertarian. Do you think we should be bombing other countries, you know, without a declaration of war? People are like, well, no. You know, do you think we should be printing money needlessly? Well, no. These are all, you know, libertarian ideals, but then when it comes down, well, I guess you're a libertarian. People are like, no, I'm not a libertarian. You know, but it's growing, and all you need is 10% in a in polling, and the libertarian automatically comes on the ticket, you see. And so the fact that this guy got 8% in Virginia is it's you know, it's not a victory, but it's evidence that the Libertarian Party and its prominence is growing, because once it hits 10%, it's over. I'm telling you, it's going to be over for both Democrats and Republicans, because at that point, now, the only reason why you don't hear libertarians in the debates, whether it's for a governor or a presidential race or whatever, is because they always say, well, you don't have you're not polling at 10%. You have to be at least at 10%. But then they don't give them any media coverage for people to even know about them so that they can get to 10%. So now with all this alternative media, like on the internet, Facebook, and all that, people are being more educated outside of the regular media. And so once it hits 10%, I don't think it's just over for the Republican Party. I think the Democrat Party is in trouble too, because the libertarians, neither one of them can hold a debate against a strong libertarian.
So would you say that Rand Paul is a strong libertarian? Because he was in a couple of debates.
He's a Republican. I think he's very strong libertarian leaning, but I don't think he really believes a lot of the Republican stuff. But I just think he feels like that's that's just the road that he can take to get most stuff done. Because, you know, right now, libertarian candidates, they just don't, they get no visibility, so nobody votes for them. So he just feels like the Republican Party is the best vehicle right now. And so, but he's strongly libertarian because, you know, his father is strongly libertarian.
I don't know if I said Rand Paul. I meant to say Ron Paul, not Rand Paul, because I don't think Rand Paul is actually libertarian at all.
I mean, Ron Paul is, well, see, the thing about it is that, which Ron Paul is, people call him libertarian, but what Ron Paul is what the Republican Party used to be. And Ron Paul is an old, very wise man. He's one of my heroes. I'm just be frank. He's one of my heroes because he's very old and wise, he's very conservative about, you know, just history and about how things used to be. You know, the Republican Party that he represents, he wants the Republican Party to go back to how it used to be when Frederick Douglass was a part of the Republican Party. Because what we call libertarian now is what the Republican Party used to be, because the Republican Party used to be the ones who pushed for, those were the abolitionists who pushed for the end of slavery, because they were about constitutional or human rights for everyone, and for, you know, just freedom for everyone, and minimum government intrusion and all that. And if you read Frederick Douglass's autobiography, he says that he will always be a Republican, you know, because he felt like it was the party of freedom. And at that time, it was. But it's changed now.
Where do libertarians – I really like your libertarian view, because sometimes you get someone who say they're libertarian, and you be like, oh, wait a minute now. I can trust on your views because you stand on it right or wrong. So I'm going to ask you this. How does a true libertarian feel about DOMA, same-sex marriage, don't ask, don't tell, and abortion?
Well, wow, that's a lot. Okay. Well, when it comes to same-sex marriage first, see, you have to understand that the government has no business in the institution of marriage. And the way that they got into the institution of marriage is they were acting as, socialist or being oppressive in the first place. Because the government started issuing marriage licenses when initially the reason why they got into the business was to prevent black men from marrying white women or just black and white people from intermarrying. And that was the purpose. So now basically, the chickens are coming home to roost now, because now gays are like, we want our rights and blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, the government should have never
before
been involved
their time.
In
I mean, they just,
place.
They, the sound.
Oh.
Totally American.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5210. We're talking about JFK. We've got off into voter and Tea Party stuff. But it's open mic Friday, so you never know where we're going to go. We want to hear from you. And in South Carolina, your mic. Oh, Mike, that's not so blind, Mike. Your mic is up, Mike.
Thank you.
Covina, man, your mic is up also. And I have Mark Colucci in studio with me.
Now.
Yeah, Covina, man, you've been up for a minute. What did you want to say?
I wasn't ever unmuted before when I was trying to talk. I was just going to say quickly that I don't think you warned your guest that he was entering a bubble zone of disbelief. and I think the one thing that Tracy, one thing that you were saying, which is typical of Republican, is that you don't respect me enough as a black man for me to be right or wrong. You just said, because I don't vote the way you want me to vote, you're going to just strip me of my right to vote. You have no respect for me to cast my own vote or make my own decision. You want to say, I'm just going to strip your right of, I just want to strip your right of a vote. That's typical
Republican.
What are
you talking about? No,
some of
I'm
the,
not.
What you
no.
had said about what you no. had said. Hello?
I said, no, you make sure you, okay. when you quote me, make sure you get me right. The average African American voter.
Yes, ma'am.
They are not voting based upon political fact. They are voting on their own personal indoctrination of what they think a Democrat is. They do not know how to engage, and this goes for black people and white, but the majority of African Americans. And a majority of Americans in general, but the majority of African Americans, especially because I love them dearly, they have no idea that when they have a one-party system and they are so beholden and they are and so monolithic in everything that they do, and they never know how to engage the process, and because of their undereducation of the political process, they get whipped every time, even though they think they won. I watch it every election cycle. I watch it every year. I don't care if it's for statewide races, if it's for local races, or if it's for federal races. No one is that monolithic in their vote, whether it be Republican
you're
and or Democrat.
You're just trying to justify. You're just trying to justify.
I ain't justifying Jack. I'm telling you from straight up, I live in a Democrat quadrant, and I watch them get steamrolled every election. So don't tell me.
That wasn't my beef with what you said. I didn't
that
have
is
a beef
what I
for
said.
Why you justify it. I didn't
I'm
have a beef
justi-
with
I'm,
what
This
you're
is not a justification.
Reason.
This is a fact. I watch African Americans because of their political ignorance.
It
you can call them up and tell them I
Tracy,
said it. Yes,
said.
It does.
It does.
You know why it matters?
I still have a right to vote.
You
have
the right to vote. But you don't have the right to vote ignorantly when it's going to be at your demise because I keep you ignorant until I need you. That's what the difference is. I want you to vote. If you want to vote for Mickey Mouse to be president, I want you to vote for the mouse and the rat to be president if that's what you want. But what I don't want is for you to vote for a rat and think you got an elephant.
And what happens is we vote and think we got something, and at the end of the day, we're the ones sitting on the sidelines trying to figure out what in the world happened to us. And this is in your own Democrat primaries.
But I don't need you. I don't need your. I do not need your approval for why
it's
I want
about
to vote.
My, listen,
I do not,
you're not
need
this
it.
This is not about approval. This is not
you're
about approval.
Saying, yes, it is. It's about if
no,
I don't fit
not.
Tracy's world, if I don't fit in Tracy's bubble, I do not get the right to vote. I do not need your approval. It's a war
as a
against,
of fact,
in the Constitution.
As a matter
either
of fact,
I have
you would
it
do
or
better.
Don't.
You would do better, I promise you. If the world was according to Tracy, you would do a whole lot better, and African Americans would not be where they are today. I can promise you that. Because at least I care enough about you to follow my sword. I don't mind taking a bullet for black folks if it's going to advance them. I
so
can't find too many black folks or white folks that'll say that.
So even if black folks became well-informed and still voted Democrat, what difference does it make?
It's okay. That's good.
Okay.
If that's what you want. That's
okay.
Good. If that's what you believe. And then once you're there, make sure you know how to engage the vote to let you get something. But for them to actually mobilize you, no, for them to mobilize you and for them to take advantage of you, and at the end of the day, you still can't get a commercial driver's license if you're a felon. It's not right.
What is the difference between the modern-day Republican Party and the Democrat Party? What is the difference that will cause a person to vote one way or the other?
Neither. There is no
religion.
Difference. No, there is no difference.
Democrat
we say it all the time.
No, there may not be a difference between the people, but there is a significant difference.
No, Diva, there is no, there isn't. There is no difference
your
because
party,
nobody's,
your party
Diva, you're not listening.
Like,
nobody's paying attention to the platform anyhow. You can go out and ask every Republican and every Democrat, have you read your party platform? And the majority of them will tell you they read it in 2000, 1999, 1976, not realizing that the platform changes every 4 years. They don't even understand how the process works.
So you say there's no difference between when the Supreme Court votes 5-4 or 4-5 the other way, that makes it absolutely no difference. I would say you're out of your mind.
No. Let me tell you why. Because people are mobilizing it the way they want it to go, and they're not taking in consideration anything that you have to say because you're not sitting at the table of influence. Whether it be judicial, legislative, and or administrative.
I mean, there's a big difference.
So there's no
difference.
If the Supreme Court would have voted 4-5 against Obamacare or 4-5 for that, makes absolutely no difference.
It makes no difference to
just
you? No. No.
Oh, I'm just saying, in general.
Because, well, listen,
okay,
listen, you're going to, listen, no. Oh, come in a minute.
Yes.
Listen to this. They're going to get you. Listen, they're going to get you.
Yes, sir. Yes,
listen,
ma'am.
They're going to get you whether you have insurance, and they're going to get you if they don't. Because right now, they're getting you any way they can. And when it comes to people that are underserved and African-Americans and black folks across America, it's all the same. You're getting screwed no matter what. Go ahead, Alex.
So you're telling – go ahead, Alex.
I was just saying – I was just going to say real quick, the Supreme Court always votes the political wind. Wherever the political wind blows, I mean – during slavery, we had the Dred Scott case, and then, you know, afterwards they made other, you know, decisions that contradicted that, and, you know, and same thing with civil rights and everything else. It's just, they just go with the political wind. I mean, I don't even know why they're there. I mean, they don't even uphold the Constitution.
And he's right. He's right. I mean, it's not like they do what's right according to the law and according to what it reads.
What the
am I wrong? Hold on,
wind.
Hold on, Mark.
I mean,
Mark, am I wrong?
You have a good point. I mean, they're political appointments, but it seems that the, for example, Earl Warren was a very law and order judge, and yet he is one of the more liberal chiefs that we've had because of the time he was in, and that was the way the political pendulum was going. And now you have John Roberts. Who would have thought that he would be the tiebreaker in the Obamacare? Let me just throw one thing out to our friend in South Carolina who's the worships at the altar of Nikki Haley.
He's gone, but go ahead.
Yeah, let me just tell this fella. Is there any Democratic state legislature voting or trying to enact voter ID laws? Yes or no? You tell me the
state. Listen, I can tell you there is none. But let me But let me say this.
It's just the Republicans.
Hold on. But when we actually had, and I can only speak. I know Ohio better than I know anywhere else. When I am in the state of Ohio, when the Republican Senate and the House decided that they wanted to extend the voting days. Do you remember this?
I remember it very well.
Do you remember Democrats fighting against it?
Well, I think they supported the access to the polls a longer time.
So remember the 35 day, and they all got into a fight, and no Democrat voted for the legislation. Not one.
Exactly.
Well,
not one.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It was in Ohio. It was 35. Not one.
And you know why that was?
Why was that?
That was because that would have allowed the absentee ballots that did not come in time for the election from our military around the world. Remember that big scandal? They were getting them like the day before the election or something. It would allow those votes to be counted, and the Democrats knew that the military tends to go Republican.
That's a good point.
That's why the Democrats shot that down and would not vote for it. Because if it was truly about access for everybody's vote, truly about fairness, then extending it to allow the absentees to come in from around the world from all the military bases and the men and women serving, they would have gladly done it. But it was never about access. It was about shaping the procedure to best suit your party's platform.
And that's what I'm saying. Politics is theater. And it is shaped by the players who are writing the script out. It is what it is. And until we understand that, then we will always be sitting on the outside looking in instead of making legislation and pushing things for our own common good. That's how the political process is shaped. Whether it be
Kennedy. No one doubts that, though.
Even when we're talking about voter ID, it ain't about you. They made it about you because they know that if we make it about you, you'll create enough roar to move in their way. But it's not about you because they don't need you because we already know how you're going to vote, and you know that you have an ID because the majority of you are on welfare.
No, they give you an ID. The problem with your argument is if the parties are doing what they're doing to win the election, as the previous guy just said, and nobody disagrees with that, there's a specific reason why they're targeting to try to get rid of black people from vote. And that's the specific reason is to win that election, because they know if you get more black people voting, then the Republicans is not going to win.
Listen, it's not about you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ring a bell, make you dance to push forth the emotional and the mindset of it. And I can get it done. But at the end of the day, you think it's about you, but it's about someone else's agenda. And you're not
nobody
a part
disagrees
of it.
With that.
All you're going to
nobody
do is
disagrees
carry
with that,
the
Tracy.
Load. And my
you're just
problem
saying, you're just
is,
stating the obvious. You're stating the obvious. Everybody knows that.
No, they don't.
That's
everybody
the
doesn't know that. And the
there
problem is they blame Republicans on trying to suppress the vote. They claim that they're trying to enact the vote. And at the end of the day, all they're trying to do is manipulate the vote so they can get what they want at the end. And it's not about you.
Both sides are manipulating the vote. One side wants to keep a certain demographic from voting because they know that if they
do
that,
Diva,
the other side is countering that argument because they want to make sure that their people get out the vote so that they can.
You're thinking too narrow.
No, I'm not thinking too narrow.
Look in the mirror.
It's not about you. It doesn't matter. Look, Tracy, if I work at a job, my boss doesn't like me, so what? I still collect my paycheck, take care of my family. Yes, it's not about me when they're trying to get me to the polls so that they can win a national election, but guess what? I know what they're doing. Most people know that it's not about us actually voting. Yeah, it is about us voting because they want our vote so they can win. Do they personally care about each and every person?
Diva,
probably
that's not.
Not
what I'm saying, sweetie.
Who cares?
You're missing the point.
I just want to get my vote in.
Diva,
and she did
no.
that I
it's
for
not
the country
about you
to vote.
Voting. Diva, it's not about you voting.
It's
not
it's
about
a magic
you getting...
trick, then? It's a magic
Diva,
trick.
No. No, it's not about you at all. They just need for you to carry the heavy load. Am I wrong, Mark? I mean, seriously, am I wrong? It's not about you getting to the polls.
It's about
why are they attacking us then? Why are they attacking us?
Exactly.
Because they know it'll trigger you to fight like a bulldog.
So they want us to be triggered so we can go out and defeat them.
No, they want you to trigger so you can carry the water.
I'm talking about the people who are attacking us, not the ones that are defending us. I'm talking about the ones that are attacking us. The ones that are
attacking
us, you're saying they're attacking us in order so we to stop us from voting. But that's not about us.
We're
being attacked, and it's not about us.
We're told they're attacking you by the people that want to mobilize you and use you.
We're seeing it with our own eyes.
Being a man and said, "I'm attacking you." You only hear about being attacked from your side. That doesn't mean it's true. That's how they mobilize you and use you. Right now, if I were a black person, I'd be feeling very betrayed because of what was believed in the 2008 election that would change. With 23% or 26% unemployment amongst black youth, I'd be feeling pretty darn betrayed.
And listen, I got to take a break.
It didn't do
right
any
back.
Good to vote for this president if you were a black man because you are not better off in every category economically. Black people today are worse off than they were under George Bush and as they were under Bill Clinton, for sure.
Y'all trying to feed us some BS, and we're not biting, nor are we swallowing. Because here in Franklin County,
the 2008 election in the inner cities in the black communities, here's a question they asked, and they got an 85% wrong answer to it. They said, "Who are you voting for, McCain or Obama?" They said, "Obama." They said, "Even though he's got that Palin woman going to be vice president then?" And they said, "Yeah, if he thinks she's okay, I think she's okay." 85% of the black people polled in the inner cities like Harlem and those kind of places didn't even know that Sarah Palin was the Republican candidate. This is what Tracy is saying.
Okay, but no. Also, like Vina Man said, because you feel that I don't have all the information or all the facts, that I shouldn't vote for the person
the
that I
want
to see as president.
But have no misconception that your people as a group are among the lowest information voters in the society.
So because you feel that way, then we should not be allowed to vote.
I didn't say that, and I will repeat
that's
it one
it
more time
like.
For you so you can get it. You can go
but
vote
no, that's
any
what
way
it sounds
you want.
Like. You're saying, you guys,
no
we're talking about...
Diva,
no, the argument
your people
is,
as a group
Lord have mercy.
Are not among
guys,
the most political savvy, and that's all Tracy said.
You guys are full of BS and hot air because we talk about voter suppression,
Tracy,
and then you
look,
guys talk about, oh, but you don't know
thing,
all the facts,
Diva,
and you don't really know who you're voting
Diva,
for.
Diva, when
blah,
they
blah,
asked
blah,
who
blah.
Was running as vice president, most black people
like,
got
that's
that
an
question
excuse
right.
Or justification. So what? So what that they don't know
black
who the vice president who Sarah Palin was? So what?
Process.
It doesn't that's matter. They
saying,
have a right to vote. And they have
this
a right to vote
hey, Diva,
how they want.
Diva, this president met less with the black caucus since he's been in office than Lyndon Johnson did,
care.
Who was only in
I
office for about
care.
As much time.
Am I voting for him to have a relationship with the black caucus? Are we voting for him to have a relationship with the black caucus? No, we're not. Did we vote for
but,
him to have a relationship with the Republican caucus?
That
no, we did
to
not.
Represent your point of
that
view.
Has nothing to do with anything.
You
that has nothing to do with
anything.
You guys try to justify this excuse
of
voter
before.
Suppression as in wrapping in as you guys don't know what you're voting for. And no, and that's not the real
as
deal.
A group,
deal
Diva,
is Republicans
Diva,
don't want Democrats.
We're only going on statistics here.
The Democrats don't
see,
want
Diva,
Republicans
you can't have
to take
an intelligent
that vote.
Discussion with somebody who wants to make everything personal. You can
it's
vote
not,
for whomever.
You
we're
personal
not taking
when
issue
you
with that.
Made
we're just
this assumption
saying
about black people.
You're
you and Tracy made it personal.
You're not voting in your best interest. You
I
have
feel
less
a person's not voting in their best interest.
5 years ago.
Okay, all right.
You have more
okay.
unemployment
so just because
than
they don't vote how you want them to vote,
second only
and they're not voting according
people.
To how you think they should vote, they're
it's
not voting
not
in their
I
best
interest. Think. You see, your mind is stuck
okay.
on the only thing you could hold on to, which is misinformation. Nobody
it
said you didn't have the right
not,
to
okay,
vote.
Okay, all right. Look, I get what you're saying.
You're
I completely get what
you
and Tracy are saying about misinformation.
And
I get that. But my point is, what does it really matter? What does it really matter? Person should be able to vote how they want to vote. If you want to vote for Mickey Mouse and Donald Trump,
the government's going to bail them out in the year 2013 is a fool anyway.
Okay, well, who cares? Let them vote. If they want to vote, if a person wants to vote foolishly right or left, who cares?
Well, if you can believe what Kavina Man said, okay, and I'll accept that as truth, then all those misled information voters put people in office that are problematic to everybody else who's trying to make it in their own way.
So we who vote who are low-information voters, who vote Democrat, who don't know what they're voting for,
Democrat,
we put someone in office.
I said low-information voters. I did not
okay,
put a
so
party on
okay, so we put
on
someone
it.
In office who is basically going to upset the balance for the opposition. That's what it boils down to, because you're the ones who only complain. You're the ones who have the main complaints. Democrats complain when a Republican is in office.
Democrats
and Republicans
are the ones who are saying that IDs will keep Democrats out of the polling booth. Nobody ever, no Republican says that.
But they're doing it.
They who are doing what to whom? Stop using
they are
so
doing
many
you
pronouns.
Have
get some precision
public,
in your discussion.
Okay, so you explain to me how in a state, in one state, you can use your hunting license, but they can't use their college IDs.
Because voting, if you read the Constitution, voting and the conditions under which you vote and terms under which you vote and how votes are conducted are given to the states to run,
okay.
including in national elections.
And I'm not denying that, but you tell me how it doesn't seem like it's voter suppression
so
or it's not decided or pursued.
Hey, Diva, last time I looked, there we don't have checkpoints at the state borders. If you don't like the rules of the state you live in, you're free to move.
Oh, just like if you don't like the rules of the country of the president who is in office, then you're free
no,
to move, too.
Didn't say that. I said we have 50 states, and certain things are the prerogative of the state to make the decisions. The local people
okay,
make the decisions.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
You
but
live
the,
in a
but
state where the majority of the people want it one way. What are you
way.
Going to then do? Say the majority just has no voice when they disagree with you?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. That's what you guys always say. You guys always get an uproar when a majority does. When a majority goes a certain way.
I don't think so, Diva.
You guys
I'm sorry. When the majority, Diva, after the election, Obama was my president too, and I defended him. I wouldn't let people be disrespectful in front of me or anything, because I respect the electoral process. I believe in the way this country works, when it works. But I'm not going to let any side get a leg up on the other side with lies, half-truths, misinformation, and rhetoric, and inflaming and dividing people. And when they started this thing about ID to prove that you who you are who you are when you vote, and they made that a them against us poor people, disenfranchised people against the whole rest of the rich people in this country, that was a lie. Because the truth is, most poor people receiving public assistance, actually all, have some type of identification. You can't cash a welfare check or apply for welfare without identification.
Okay,
so it was a red herring to mobilize the troops, to get everybody get a big flaming boil on everybody's butt going, to get you off your butt and out to the polls to vote.
Again, you missed the point, because it's not about just having some form of identification. Now they're switching it up to where you have to have a specific type of identification. Now, when it comes to
because
college students
type of
not being able to use their college IDs, but you have a person who has a concealed carry license ID, and he can use that, tell me, what does that look like?
I don't know, but it has your picture. And it proves
okay.
that you've been,
right.
you've been legally,
okay. I'm done.
You've been legally
I believed you there for a second.
You
I believed you there for a second, but then now you're switching it up because oh,
I'm
wait
not
a
switching
minute.
Anything up, Diva. There are some forms of ID. I imagine if somebody walked in with a G9 security clearance for the CIA with their picture on it, I imagine some voting poll administrator, magistrate, or referee would accept that. Instead
okay,
of a state
but I can accept
license.
Somebody's right to concealed carry license with their picture ID on it,
but
I can't accept
state.
A college
that's
student's
in that
picture
state.
ID.
Again, don't move to that state if you don't have a concealed license permit.
But here you now you just permit. Made the argument saying we need some people. They have some type of form. Everybody has some type of form ID. So yes, nobody's arguing per se about needing an ID to show proof who you are. Okay. What I do have a problem with is when you start to discriminate when it comes to ID, and you don't even want to realize that.
That's what I want to realize about IDs.
You don't want to realize that there is discrimination when it comes to specific IDs. Somebody can have a concealed carry weapon ID and vote.
That's
but
not
a college
discrimination.
Student
that's what that state again.
College
let's go back
ID.
To the Constitution. The state
right,
gets
okay.
to set
all
the
righty,
rules
all
by
right,
which
okay.
electoral by your ability to vote.
Okay.
That privilege
all
is
right,
granted to
okay.
you.
Okay. Yes, okay. All
some
right.
State,
okay.
If you're a felon, you can now vote again once you serve your
okay.
time. Other states
all
you
right.
can.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
Well, I'm glad you see the light.
No, I don't. I'm just
I know.
Just like,
I said
just,
that to be facetious because you're not you're arguing six different things.
Does not allow light to penetrate either way.
If you don't like the rules where you live, move.
You know what? Your
are
country
you
is
not
taking your own life. You're being so contradictory. You don't even see it.
Hey, you said you like
I get it. I get it.
No,
oh, you don't. You're not going
to
see it. I get it. I get it.
I'm sitting here talking with Mark Colucci, and we've gotten off the JFK completely.
That's okay.
But we're still politics, and I want to hear from you, and I want to hear your thoughts. You know, I know I'm a little rough today, but I'm trying to just be honest. People just don't get it. Mm-hmm. You know, you vote for lawyers who don't write legislation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, am I lying?
Mm-hmm. There's a definite disconnect out there with I just think we have to start over, in my view.
I mean, you actually send lawyers to the legislature, and you send people down there because you think that they can read the law, and that they can interpret the law, and they can write the law, and you pay them something like $70,000
mm-hmm.
a year plus full benefits, plus a retirement program and all that kind of great stuff, and you think that they're doing something really, really magnificent, and you don't realize that they're only maybe about a small percentage of the whole picture. Who's actually manipulating the whole system, both on the Democrat and Republican side?
System's broken, no doubt. No doubt about it. I mean, you know, people think they read the bills. Well, you know what? Even if they had an opportunity to read the bills, they don't. You know, the staff writes a synopsis, and if people knew how legislation was made, it's just insane. You know, even looking at the Affordable Health Care Act, the insurance company, the insurance industry wrote that bill. Yet we see it going in all different directions now. And I guess that's another story as we're watching a monitor in here. But and so today is it's a week before the 50th anniversary, and we've talked about the president and sort of a distrust of government now as we see that the CIA and the FBI are still, to this day, withholding evidence, medical evidence, autopsy evidence. And it's kind of funny because back then you see that people trusted government, but then we went into Vietnam and the lies from Johnson and the Gulf of Tonkin was a lie. The body counts were a lie, and then we move into Watergate, and then we move into all the way up now to the NSA. And if you run that film backwards, you see it's the same. You know, government people in power are going to abuse the power. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
And if I could just get people to just understand that this is, I mean, and this is a, I mean, you think, you know, I look at the black community, and they think that they trigger them, mm-hmm. like triggers. With MS, you have foods that will trigger your lapse and make it more active and less active depending what kind of food that you eat. So the aspartame, ingesting a lot of an equal,
mm-hmm.
is a way to trigger MS. So those of us who are diagnosed with it, we tend to stay away from it. MSG, there are things that you'd stay away from. You're not supposed to stress. You have to stay away from all that. So you do your best to stay away from some certain things. Well, if you know the triggers and you want to trigger something, then you begin to ingest it and or make it available to a certain person.
Well, you know, you bring up, you know, okay, let's say that the Democratic Party has a hold on the black population and so forth. Let me ask you this. What has the Republican Party offered to the black community to get them to support their candidates? How have they reached out to the black community?
Now,
I don't see
honestly,
it. I don't see it.
I think they are now getting the picture. In the past, they've done a very, very poor job of doing so. Because every time that they've reached out, they've gotten their hands slapped. And they went back and it just went away. And now they're realizing that the shape of America is changing. So, yes, they have done and I've been in the Republican political process active for the last, 14 years.
Now, with that in mind, let me ask you, what do you think they haven't really made a legitimate effort or a consistent effort to go after the black vote. Now, let's talk about what do you think about what they've done with the female vote, with women? Look at these insane people you've had at the last election. They have alienated any chance of crossing all sorts of Democrats for women to come to the Republican Party.
I don't – I see something –
I mean,
the rape,
all these comments.
No, hold on. But see, this is an issue. And this is an issue that we need to take at heart. If I say something here on the radio, everything is not being said by the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
It is the comments of Tracy Winbush.
Mm-hmm.
It is the same thing for candidates. Because if that be the case, everything that you can say would not be for the Democrat Party also.
But you know,
you get some people out there, and I'm not going to say that they all are in love with women and or blacks. They're not, both Republican and Democrat. But see, when Republicans say something, it's an indictment against the whole party. When Democrats say something, it was a slip.
Well, you know, I think there might be that bias in there, but the problem with the GOP is when candidate after candidate talking about insane things about rape, the leadership did not come down and squash them and say, that's not us.
Ignorance. See, when I look at the Republican Party, a lot of it is testosterone ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, now we've talked about the black vote. We've talked about the female. Now they're going to kill immigration. Now where do you think that Hispanic vote's going? So where is the Republican? Where are they going to get their vote?
I do not believe that the Hispanic vote or the Latino vote will be as emotional and as adhering as the black vote. So I will not put them in the same bag.
Well, they're a little more conservative and Catholic.
No, they're not. That's not about conservative and Catholic, because Catholics vote Democrat. The Catholics vote Democrat, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about they're more politically savvy.
Well, they are.
They've studied the process a little bit more, because if you look at them, they have people who understand how to engage the leadership a whole lot differently than African Americans. Because remember, they are taught Latino first, politics second. African Americans are taught Democrat first, white people second, everything else at last.
I could see that, but what message is the GOP-controlled House sending out to Latinos when they are now driving the immigration reform into the ground? You're alienating every sector of the new demographic in the country. So where are you going to get these old white, not even country club Republicans, these old white racist, anti-social programs? I mean, they're in the minority. They are in. That's the irony. The minority they used to oppress, now they are the minority.
Actually, I don't think – I think there is a new wave of Republicans coming.
Not like the
No. There's
blue dog.
Hold on.
No.
There is a new wave of Republican coming. I said this on the 15th of November 2013. There is a new wave of Republicans coming that you're not seeing, and you have to understand you have a liberal media.
Are you talking about the self-interest pitch that people are tired of paying for the social program?
Nope.
That divisive message?
No, I'm talking about a new wave of Republican.
Where would they come from? Women? Blacks?
They're coming
young
from,
people?
They're coming from youth.
Nah. Mm-mm.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
That was maybe a generation ago. Not today's youth.
Mark,
the gay issues.
Listen, what I'm saying. Doesn't matter because
they're very inclusive.
We're becoming very inclusive. But we're also understanding and when I say this, I'm saying this as a younger person. We're inclusive, but we're learning how to agree to disagree. Because remember, I have to respect you
I don't have to agree with you. And what's happened with this baby boomer generation, this 65 and older, they want you to agree with everything. I don't have to agree with you. I don't have to say that I agree, but I have to respect who you are. And there is coming a generation of younger people who are there. It's not to where we are going to demonize you, but I disagree with you. And in my disagreement, I'm going to make sure that you're treated fairly, but I just don't agree with how you live. And because this utopia of everybody's going to coalesce and live together in harmony, you know, the Coca-Cola song is not coming to fruition.
Well, it sounds like you're saying we'll give you a fair trial and then we'll hang you.
No.
I don't think that's going to sell.
But what it's saying is I'm not going to call what you do normal,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to let you live your life as you choose.
I don't think that's going to be enough for them.
It may not. It may not be enough for you, mm-hmm. but in your enough, it is what it is. Because conservatives will always be conservative. People are going to get tired of taking care of people who are not producing.
Well, you might have tapped into something there. I really dislike the whole pitch of that, the self-interest, the I want mine, the heck with you, I'm tired of paying for you. I just don't think that is an altruistic thing. I think it's very realist, and I see it in various talk shows, that sort of message now being chimed off by some Democratic people. Morally, I don't like it.
After a while, I mean, if you want to produce, I want you to produce. But I can no longer afford for you to live like I live and me bust my butt every day.
Well, you know,
and you at home kick it. I'm going to have a problem if I come to work.
And you're sitting at home. I mean, if you should be able to.
If both of us are working the same job,
mm-hmm.
and I'm working your job and my job, but when I get the paycheck at the end of the day, we all get the same
you're
paycheck.
Up.
Oh, no. That's going to stop.
Well, the Bible says about the people that were hired in the morning and then the people that were hired in the end, and they said, you know, just be, you know that parable, don't you? They were complaining, gee, we worked all day, and, you know, these people that came on at the last shift got the same thing. And the Bible says just be happy with what you got with what you earned. Forget about what I'm doing with these other people. So
it's
an anti-biblical
But no, it's not an anti, because the Bible says if a man does not work, he doesn't need to eat.
Well,
and what's happening is you have people who are poaching on everyone else.
Well, no one likes anyone to gain.
America is
that.
Built on a productive society. Our democracy is built on everyone who is a part of it being productive. And what's happening is we have too many people who are able-bodied. We're not talking, even the mentally ill, the mentally challenged, they can be productive where they are. Our problem is we've got able bodies who we are carrying on our back, and after a while they're going to break the back of those that are carrying them, and we won't be able to carry them anymore.
But are there jobs?
Yes, they're jobs. Listen, if you work at McDonald's and you don't like flipping burgers, it would behoove you when you get off to learn how to cook fries.
Well, I'm all for that, and then they want to discourage education. See, look, we go back to this trade agreement and
It's a very
complex thing here. Yeah, you know, the big mantra now is we need more pipe fitters, we need more this or that. You know what? And then at the same time, their kids are going to Ivy League schools.
No, we need them all.
We have a employment problem that is not going to change because of agreements like the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement.
Your president just expanded that.
Well, I'm totally against that, and if you really read that, you won't be able to sleep
tonight.
You and
me both.
But your president just expanded that and massaged
those
that.
Those are the forces in Congress. I mean, you know, he's doing...
No, he ain't doing nothing for Congress because
are the power. You know, that Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement was negotiated in secret. It's on a fast track, very much like the trade agreements under Reagan and the one that Clinton signed. This is bad for America.
It's not bad for America.
Sure it is. All the jobs are going overseas. You know,
in 30 years,
look what happened. Wiped out the middle class.
But again.
McDonald's is the main employer, Walmart.
Actually, what's happening is we have dumbed down the American electorate on all levels, politically as well as academically. See, I don't have to go to an Ivy League college. But I need to know what I know. If I'm going to be a plumber, I don't want an academia to come and fix my toilet. Well, what's happening is we have classified ourselves into destruction. We have dumbed down our elementary schools and our post-secondary schools. We have dumbed down the college process. People have demonized the new president of Youngstown State University for saying that you need to know how to read, write, and count before you come into Youngstown State. Do we not understand that you need to know something? You have to have a trade. And everybody can't be paid at the same wage because you feel as though you need a livable wage when you don't want to work at doing something at getting it.
I agree, but trickle-down economics is not the answer.
But it's not about trickle-down. It's about being productive and doing better.
We need an even playing field. We don't have it. We've given it away.
But you can't have an even playing field because you have to have – you can't go into the steel mills anymore and not being able to read.
I agree with all that, but you want an educated, trained labor force, but there are no jobs. You've sent them overseas.
There are jobs.
They are not middle class, sustainable.
There are jobs.
Walmart, Dollar General.
How many more Dollar General stores do you have to see? There are jobs out there. The problem is we will not take the time to go to school and get what's necessary. There are truck drivers. People need them. Truck drivers, you've got to go to school and learn how to get a drop back up that truck into the middle of a freight thing.
You could train.
And all
we
that
make
cost,
nothing in this country anymore.
All
nothing.
That cost. Who's going to pay for these people to go to school and get all these trade skills?
Honey, you can go to Newcastle School of Trade right now, and you can get all the kind of money you want. All you got to do is go.
Show up and pass a drug test.
And for a heck of a lot less money than going to college. Right
and
now,
there are
actual
trade
statistics, by the year 2015, 2 years from
Steven,
now, we're going to be short 450,000 licensed electricians in this country. That's a four-year apprenticeship, by the way. And their starting pay is $60,000 to $65,000 a year. That is middle class.
We're moving away from academia into
Forget about going to college because you can't afford it. Go get a trade.
Diva, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with getting a trade and then trading your way through college. There's nothing wrong with having a skill and having a degree too. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you've got to do things a little bit differently. But if you think that you're going to walk out of high school, not be able to read, write, not pass a drug test, and go get a job next week, it's not going to happen in 2013.
What went wrong with our education?
It amazes
what
me
happened?
That you guys
let me tell you what
think
happened.
That
we took
portion
the money.
Is the majority.
But it is.
No, that's not the majority.
Yes, it is.
That's not the majority of people who are not working. I mean, you
Diva.
Said something about people who have mental retardation. And a lot of people who are collecting welfare benefits such as SSI are doing so because they're not employable, but you're saying, well, they can get any kind of job, but the jobs that they only qualify does not pay enough for them to maintain
Diva.
Medical.
So get qualified
for medical care
else,
and medicine.
Diva. Get Diva, qualified
there are
for another
people,
job.
Listen, there are people out there. I understand that people get sick. I understand that people have ailments. But if you have no legs, don't try to run. But you can sit and answer the phone, and you can learn how to type. I watch a young man who is blind as a bat. He may not be as blind as Mike, but he can't see. He has a thing in his ear, and he is one of the best computer people that we know. And how he does it, I have no idea. But he can write program. He can do some things with a computer and make that computer do what it chooses. The question is, do you want to do it? And our problem is we have made an entitlement society, both rich and poor, that nobody wants to work. Heck, you go to Dollar General, and they don't even want to check you out. They don't want to stock shelves. They don't want to work up in the process. They don't want to come to work on time. They don't want to look decent when they get there. They don't want to take a bath. Come on.
Making $7.25 an hour and barely
yeah,
able to pay for their living and their rent and their bills. I can understand why they
Diva,
feel that
you
way.
You need those jobs as entry-level positions for younger folks to get an idea what work is about. It was never planned that a $7.25 an hour job was going to be a living wage. It was
a starting point
that the world of business and politics and people considered, okay, I don't know nothing, but I'll accept $7.25. Teach me something. You're going to have to eat all the mistakes I make. You're going to have to put up with all the money I cost you while you're training me, while I'm screwing up and everything. But at $7.25 an hour, as an employer, they say, all right, I'm willing to take the risk. Now, when you've been there a while, if you've got anything in you and you're worth anything, most places, pretty soon one day you're kind of little department manager for nine-something an hour. You'll work your way up. If that's not your cup of tea, you finish school and you go on to what is your cup of tea. If you're not stuck. These adults who have these 725 an hour jobs is a direct relationship to the thing. I know people with PhDs with 725 an hour jobs. Because economy is so screwed up that we're not creating jobs because of the policies in Washington, D.C. right now. Nobody in their right mind who has a lot of capital is going to put 10 or 15 or $20 million at risk to open a factory and create 100 jobs. Because you never know what the government's going to perform.
I agree with you. I agree with
you. You can put that money offshore and make more money per year than if you put up with all the government hassles.
You have $4 trillion of untaxed money offshore, but getting back to your entry-level jobs, 25 years ago maybe, that's how it was. Kids worked at McDonald's, kids worked at these stores, and then they went on. These aren't entry-level jobs anymore. There's people fighting for survival to feed their children. Go to McDonald's, go to these places.
But listen, you're right, and the reason why they're not students is because they haven't taken time to go become a student of something.
Well, you want to cut education.
No,
you're
not cutting education.
These kids won't even work an apprenticeship program. Apprenticeship programs in the trades where if you have a little bit of math skill and a little bit of communication skill and you're willing to show up at work, like Tracy says, neat and clean with a good attitude, they'll start you at $12 to $14 an hour. But it's a trade you're going to be learning. I'm going to tell you something. Tracy, may I just share something real quick here personally? I spent the last 2 days under my home here, I'm 65 years old, with a black friend of mine who's 70 years old, redoing the duct work in this place because I, here in South Carolina, could not hire somebody to do that work that knew what they were doing. That's how desperate they are for skilled HVAC people, tin knockers, electricians, plumbers. I had a broken pipe. That's how I discovered the duct work was that when I went under the house. Because I had a broken pipe, and I went into their blind to fix it myself, and I did. And I don't want a pat on the back for that. But at some point, you've got to – who cares who's in the White House? At some point, you've got to take ownership of your own life. And if you're not happy at $7.25 an hour, go learn something that someone will pay you $10 an hour
for. Mark, listen. Yeah. You said immigrants.
Eastern Europe, now it's the Mexicans that want to come over and take those jobs.
Mexican, any kind of immigrant that comes here, look at what they do. And I was at an event earlier this week, or late last week, and they were people that came over and they were immigrants. And their English is still broken.
Mm-hmm.
How hard they worked,
mm-hmm.
how much time they put in.
Mm-hmm.
How much sweat. Some have lost fingers and toes and they've lost limbs and arms. And they have they were ostracized by being here. And they changed their name because they weren't accepted because they were here.
Mm-hmm.
And they navigated their way through and by hook or by crook, however they made to do it, to make sure that they would have success in America because they wanted to live the American dream. Am I wrong?
That's the history of the country.
Okay, so now here we are in 2013, and we're talking to their great-grandchildren. And I'm talking about white children. I'm not talking about black children. I'm talking about white children. Here they are. They are children of immigrants who have their names written in Paris Isle, and they have stories about their grandpa and grandma. And they have had 12 years of free school based on tax dollars. They have lived in the lap of luxury because everything was given to them. If you flip switches, lights came on. They never had to go outside to go get coal. Water had spigot. It came straight into the house. You didn't have to go fetch it. And things, they have given them opportunity to go to school, and they've given them opportunity to do anything. And all they want to do is sit down and play video games. They come to work. They don't want to dress. They want to look cute. They want to walk around, and they want to listen to whatever they want to listen to, and they think the world owes them something.
It's the new American malaise.
And so the new American malaise, and I'm just talking about the white malaise. I'm just talking about the white one. I'll go to the black one in just a second. And we say, well, we need to pay them more money. Well, no, we don't. And the reason why we don't is because if you're a college student and you are working at McDonald's and you have graduated and you have not networked yourself, well, because you can go network your way into something by volunteering. You can go network your way into something by doing something else. You can go and do, you can find something to do if you choose to do it. Our biggest problem is we would rather play video games, text on our phones, who our parents still pay for the phone that we use, and kick it on the side. But those students that I see that have graduated from college have gone into a field. I've got a young man, he is an actuary. He had a very, very difficult time finding a new position when he graduated with his master's. It took him 3 or 4 years, I think, to get, and he graduated at the top of his class, to get an actual job in actuary. And he was bumming around the house. His mom was all worried and messed up about what he was doing, trying to find his way with some other white kid. Now he works at a great bank. He's living the life in downtown Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And doing very well. Tell me, if you want it, you can go get it. The question is, how bad do you want it? And it should not be handed to you and make you comfortable making a living at McDonald's.
I understand what you're saying. Do you think it's a cultural problem? What is it that people don't have that get up and go or wanting to? You see, this is my big complaint about what I see around here. I've been around in many cities. It's just sort of like you're existing waiting to die. You got to go make your mark. You got to make a difference. You got to have a goal. You got to want to change something. I don't see that. I don't feel that hunger anymore of our generation. It's almost like the talk about a mature economy.
Complacency. It's the third and fourth generation complacency. It was rough on great grandpa, not so bad for grandpa, pretty good for dad, and absolutely wonderful for me if I do nothing. Because compare that to the flip side, the immigrants coming to this country now, the Asians, the Spanish and all. Today I ate lunch at a McDonald's and I see the people's name. They're obviously Spanish. How did they come up with 800 G's to buy that franchise? They must have had a mechanism. Okay, the local Ford dealership here in town. I'm driving around today and Emily, the kid who helps me drive and get around, she said, my God, Mr. So-and-so at the Ford place is really, really busy. Waiting in line at the light there, we saw 8 or 10 cars come by with his bumper sticker that car came from his dealership. By the way, Tracy, he's a young black man. Where did he get the money to buy a Ford dealership? There is a way,
Mike.
But he and his wife have a reputation for being hard workers, straight shooters, and everything. I'll bet you they had to put up with more crap than any 37 black people sitting there feeling sorry for themselves.
I mean, and Mike, I wasn't talking about black folks. Black folks have got a whole other different dynamic. I'm talking about white folks.
I understand. But what I'm saying
no,
is...
No, you do black folks in there.
Work.
I'm talking about white folks. I just want you to understand, yeah, their jobs may be limited, but if you have a limited job, then can create your own. Do what, you know, Martha Stewart started her empire selling pies door to door. So what, you don't have a license? That's America. You know, if you're going to find me after I start making enough money. If I make enough money when you start coming after me, then it's okay. But we have gotten into the place right now where we're lazy.
Very complacent. You know, it used to be you want to run to win. Now they don't even want to run the race.
Six, your mic is on.
Yeah, I didn't go to college. Well, you know, I didn't even go to college. I went to Stark State until I was in my 30s. And I could sit in class and I could tell the young people – that were paying their own way and the ones that mom and dad were paying their way. And the ones that were paying their own way had a way different work ethic than the ones that mom and dad were paying their way.
He had skin in the game.
And I've got a friend, and he's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
His parents didn't pay his way through medical school.
Mm-hmm.
He worked very, very hard.
On his dime.
And I saw it when my daughter was at WVU, that the kids... You could tell which kids were going to be successful and which kids weren't because the kids that were partying all night weren't going to make it, and the ones that were working 40 hours a week and going to school weren't. Will make it. That's going to be the wage. That's going to be the wage dichotomy of the future, and the income dichotomy is those who are willing to go over and above and work, and those who are not.
And that's where the conflict will come in. That's because the ones who had to work and bust it and do it day by day, hour by hour, are going to greatly even more resent having to give to the ones that Tracy's talking about who sit back and don't even try.
And African-Americans, they've been coddled into a system. if you go back to 19th, they've been, I mean, look at what they've done. Look at what the system has actually done to immobilize their strength. When's the last time you saw a real serious march on Washington about rights? And I'm not talking about racism. I'm talking about rights, saying that we demand jobs. When you look at the unemployment rate of what's going on in this country and you look at the African-American unemployment rate, it is almost triple the actual number.
Right now, right
now,
Mac Traylor.
No one questions his precedent
right
on
now,
anything.
Right now, Mac Traylor and Alliance, they've got several plants we'll take. Anybody who can pass their entrance exam and teach them how to weld, and they're starting at $12.50 an hour.
Exactly.
Hold on. Wait a minute, guys.
They can't find people that can pass drug tests, and they can't find people that can pass the basic math exam to take their job.
But listen to what I'm saying. When you look at the African-American community, you can go to the majority of major urban cities across this country and look at their school district. And I promise you will find the same thing when it comes into the ranking of their education. If there is a majority of African Americans there, you will find them in the lower tiers.
Okay, that works for your 18. But after that, there's night school.
No, sweetie.
Remedial programs out
no,
there.
No,
you're
Mike,
only 60 days
Mike,
away from knowing
Mike,
how to read.
Mike, don't go there with me because I will. I'm serious.
I am too.
I've been there.
It doesn't matter
what you're
stuck if your school burned down when you were five and they
didn't
rebuild it to 30.
Listen to what I'm saying. You cannot kill the spirit of a man. And if you look at what happens in the inner city where the schools are, they kill the spirit of the learning inside the school district. And they did it for generations, for the last 50 years. So we want to talk about how great JFK was. Look at what happened when integration came in. They didn't care if those people that were sitting in that classroom actually learned. So my parents sent me to school thinking that I was getting an education, and they had me coloring in books until I was in high school.
And they did that to the inner city, and now they're doing it to everybody who walks into a
public
school
in the door.
that they think their parents isn't of a certain income level. Absolutely.
I have a question. It goes back to something that Stig said about that job he brought up. Why is it that most of these jobs only, because the drug of choice that we're talking about mostly is marijuana. Most young black people have a problem with marijuana, so it prevents them from getting the good jobs. But yet you don't see them trying to screen alcoholism.
Because alcoholism is a legal drug.
I can tell you what the reason is. It's insurance and it's workers' compensation rates.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
No, that's not true. What it is it's
alcoholism,
a legal drug. Diva, you asked the question. Diva, it's because it's a legal drug. The problem with marijuana is it's an illegal drug, and so that they can coin you, and I've said it 1,000 years ago, it is a new discrimination factor. And I'm not saying legalize marijuana.
The welder is stoned, and they can prove it, and a weld breaks, and somebody has an accident with that Mack truck, the Mack truck company
Mike,
gets sued.
But guess what? But if I'm an alcoholic and it's still in my system when I come to work the next day and I'm having a hangover, it's not the same because I'm still high off of a drug. It's the difference between illegal and legal. It is true. It is
a
new discrimination factor.
And the insurance companies understand that, and they don't rate alcoholism as detrimental as drugs by employees.
Because it's illegal. Yes, South Carolina?
This is Michigan, man.
Yeah, Michigan.
Yeah, I just, you know, if you're going to talk about the social issues, why don't you get some experts who these issues that you guys are talking about, they've been hashed over for years and years. Well, you're absolutely right with the last statement that you made, but this is all social engineering. None of this stuff is happening by chance. It's like with the marijuana. You're absolutely right. You'll see a difference once they legalize it. But, you know, these statistics, I mean, they don't just happen by chance. If you find the same statistics in multiple locations, science says then you have to go internal. That's a systematic problem, and you can only find what the issue is by going into the system. It's not external. And so the social issues that you see within the black community that you can, you don't even have to be there. They're the same in Detroit. They're the same in Ohio. They're the same in Michigan. They're the same in South Carolina. Do y'all think that's just by chance?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. And so when you look at this, and then when you look at what's going on, you know, it's deeper than this. It's way deeper than this. But we need to understand. It is the dumbing down of America. But yes, hold on, South Carolina. But it was the pilot of Black America. Go ahead, South Carolina.
You know, 60 years ago, this all started external to the black community, but now it's internal to the black community. And when I say that, what I'm saying is, you know, we have our leaders that basically want to perpetuate this whole thing, just want to keep it going. And as long as we listen to the current so-called leaders of black America, this is the same problem. We're going to have the same problem. We're going to get the same results, you know. So we're going to have a change. You have no ifs, ands, or buts about it across the board.
Local call, your mic is on.
Is that me?
Yeah.
I said before.
Hold on. Okay. Hold on, Michigan. Go ahead, local call.
Well, I heard a lot of talk today about different things with JFK. I just wanted to get your views and the other guy's views. Do you really think it was a single person that took him down?
No.
No,
I don't.
No.
I don't either.
No. I think we have agreement on
Hold on, Sal. Hold on. Go ahead, Mike. I'm going to go ahead and Mark.
I think the consensus is, here's what did it for me. I've been to Dallas many times. I've been on the grassy knoll. I've been up on the sixth floor. I've talked to marksmen. I've talked to snipers. I know that particular rifle. There is no way that Oswald makes those shots. He missed the first shot. And, in fact, there was a great interview by a military sniper who saw the tree that was in the way, there's a moving target and so forth, he analyzed it. He said, I walked away in disgust because on my best day as a military sniper, I couldn't make those shots. It wasn't Oswald. The first shot ricocheted and hit a used car dealer. Those other shots, now they're using laser technology, came from another building in the back. There's all sorts of other things, but the point is there's no way, my problem is, there was four shots, and there's no way Oswald makes any of those shots. Not happening.
A local call. I agree. I think it was a conspiracy effort, and it was a great cover up. And
to this day,
and I'm not quite sure why, and I'm not quite sure who, but it was big. But then I think so was Martin Luther King's, Malcolm X's, and the other Kennedy also.
No doubt.
Go ahead, South Carolina. Yeah.
Being a marksman, or rather a rifle expert, he could have made those shots. Knowing his knowing how he was trained in marksmanship, he could have made those shots. Yes.
Now you have to read the testimony of his fellow soldiers.
Hold on, you don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what you're talking about, allow me, sir. Allow me, sir.
I was trained in the same marksmanship system.
Maybe you can make the shots. Lee Oswald, according to all the soldiers who were with him, according to the people that trained him, he was a poor shot. That is testimony that part was admitted to the Warren Commission, part is out there. This guy is a neurotic. He's a nervous, jerky guy. He was not capable of making those shots. You
he
have to read the testimony
ball.
About him. Maybe
he
you were.
Not,
he wasn't. He
listen
wasn't.
To me. Listen to me.
South
he
Carolina,
could not
South
have
Carolina.
Left.
Hey, wait a minute. Look, one at a time. One at a time, okay? One at a time. We'll do this debate, and I'll let y'all fight it out. But do it one at a time. Go ahead.
He could not have graduated from Marine Corps boot camp if he couldn't shoot. Bottom line.
But now I have a question for you, South Carolina.
Uh-huh.
You may not have been now I will say this, and local call, don't hang up.
I want to make a comment too.
I believe that when you went through the military, you could not have made it through military training without making those shots if you could not shoot.
But I am of the mindset that back in the 60s, 50s, and 60s, a lot of people made it into a whole lot of places that they shouldn't have been based upon either where they were going, who they were, or who they wanted them to be. And
Tracy.
Bottom line, he may not have been able to make those shots, and we will never know, but I do not believe he was the one in single activity to pull this off by himself just because he wanted to kill him because of some reason that he went up to Canada and said, I'm going to shoot the president because of something else.
Okay, but can I make a comment now?
Yes, you can.
Okay, I heard the gentleman that said he's been in Dallas, and I had the chance to do so also, and I got to go to the 6th Floor Museum and the Grass Knoll and everything. And I happened to watch a program the other night on Reels Network. I don't know if you ever heard of the show. It's called JFK, The Smoking Gun.
Yes.
Do you put any weight into his theory that the Secret Service man, two cars behind, accidentally shot Kennedy when he pulled his gun out to respond to hearing the first shot and he accidentally pulled the trigger?
I think it's possible, but the point is this. None of these other leads were properly investigated. They pinned it on Oswald. They rushed to judgment, as Mark Lane's book said, and it's been a cover-up since then. And it continues to today. So it's possible, but you know what? The best evidence is the medical evidence, and you can't have it because they are sealing it still until now, 2017.
Well, that program
they extended it.
Absolutely. The CIA and the FBI, they have skin in the game, and they have a reputation to protect, and they are the ones for whether it was an ongoing operation or their ineptness. They followed Oswald. They knew about his movements, just like with the King shooter. They knew about Earl Ray. They shadowed these people, yet they went ahead and did their deed. Now, you tell me where the conspiracy's at. You know, you could have a conspiracy and not be a shooter. You can set this guy up as a patsy, watch his movements, wind him up like a toy, put him there, and still have someone involved in a turkey shoot when they hit those second stripes.
Oswald attempted to shoot that Judge Walker
he
a
missed.
Few months before that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was a clear shot
he
where
missed.
Nobody knew he was around, and he couldn't even hit him.
No, the guy couldn't hold a rifle straight. Maggie's drawers, you know what that means.
I mean, it's just beyond comprehension to think that a man like that could have actually, I mean, I know nobody in America wants to believe that somebody that low could take out somebody that high, but just looking at the facts behind it, there's no way he could pull those three shots off up there. There's just no way. I'll never buy it. And if you read the Warren Commission, you know, they talked a lot about people smelling gunfire, like right behind Kennedy's car, a couple behind, including Senator Yarborough, which was in the car with LBJ, said he smelled gunpowder right afterwards, and the Secret Service man was in the car in front of him. And those kind of comments were put in the file of the Warren Commission. They were just totally blown over, covered up, and never commented on again. But you're telling me in 2017 they are actually going to read or release the autopsy results? Is that what you understand?
Well, there's more evidence to come out, and maybe they won't even do it then. But, you know, the point is, along what you're saying, witness after witness after witness, seeing gunmen at different locations on the knoll, behind the picket fence, seeing the rifle, seeing the puff of smoke, totally disregarded. And you say, well, that was eyewitness testimony. How many people are in jail for life based on eyewitness testimony?
Absolutely.
I'm not even one for history. I'm not one for conspiracy theories, but you can't deny that there's something more to this story and all the rest of them.
And that's the consensus.
Well,
I mean,
all I can say is this, Tracy. You will not. The theory that the guy was a poor marksman is bunk. You do not, and I unequivocally, I'll bet my paycheck on it. You do not leave Parris Island, South Carolina, as a graduating Marine from boot camp without being a qualified marksman.
You don't make that shot. Moving target, obstruction. You missed the first shot, by the way. Did you know he missed the first shot? Did you know that?
You cannot tell me.
You don't have the knowledge.
Hold on, Alex.
You're out of your league, pal.
Hold on, guys. Alex.
Alex, your mic is on.
I could talk for 4 hours about this.
Go ahead, Alex.
I just want to say, all I want to say is considering the last three presidents that was assassinated, you know, Lincoln and JFK, Obama better watch out because America obviously don't like skinny presidents, you know. So.
You're going to blame it on him being skinny.
Yeah, it got to be. You know, America, they don't like skinny presidents to finish their terms. So he better
watch
out.
Oh, my God.
So Obama's gonna be okay. I am convinced of that. Obama's gonna be okay. The problem is America won't be when it gets done. But Obama's gonna be okay because they're watching his back.
It seems to me that they only kill progressives. They don't kill people with progressive natures, progressive ideologies. They don't really tend to kill people with conservative leanings or conservative ideologies. Anytime someone would make a fundamental change to this country, it seemed like they ended up dead.
Diva, you make a good point.
Let me
just say this about the magic bullet theory. The Warren Commission and Arlen Specter, because Oswald, the wonderful great shot that he was, that he missed the president the first shot and ricocheted and hit a man by the name of Taig, then the second bullet had to take out both Kennedy and Connally, and that's when they came up with that insane theory, and then they magically find the bullet laying on the stretcher, pristine, no damage on it. Come on, wasn't born yesterday, was not born yesterday. It stinks to high heaven. Then Ruby comes along, cover-ups, Hoover, Johnson,
so the question
CIA,
why did they kill him?
Bad.
I mean, as we go out for the weekend, why did they kill him, Mark?
My personal view is it was a double – it had to do with the Castro element, as LBJ believed, and also I think the mob was watching what was going on. They were double-crossed by Robert Kennedy.
How were they double-crossed by Robert Kennedy? How did the mob figure into this?
Joe Kennedy had made a deal with the devil to bring money into West Virginia to win a primary there for JFK, and it was 100%, 99% Protestant. It was a lot of mob money paid and so forth, and they pushed him over on there, and it turns around, Robert Kennedy comes out and starts prosecuting all the organized crime cases as Attorney General. They scream double cross, especially Carlos Marcella, if you read into that and read more about that. I mean, it's a good show, but it would take literally weeks to talk about this. But we are coming to a consensus that, A, there was a cover-up. For whatever reason, they withheld evidence. B, the Warren Commission did not have all the evidence.
Well, they had all the evidence. They just didn't present all the evidence. Because it's my understanding,
right.
Christopher Warren, he did not want this baby at all.
Yeah. He was very
very reluctant in doing it, and he was actually pushed into it,
right.
And they covered up a whole lot.
And if I could leave or just say one thing, if you really want to get a flavor, go on YouTube and put in LBJ Hoover audio tapes. Listen to these two talk about how they're going to set up the Warren Commission. You listen to that, and then you tell me what you think.
Well, listen, I want to thank everybody for today. When it comes to voting and the way, you know, somebody typed in, this has been a very, very stressful show. It might be a stressful show, but it was very, very real.
Love it.
And I hope it stressed people into not changing the channel, but actually becoming more a part of the solution and not the problem. And until we become a more educated person, an educated electorate, we're going to be in trouble.
Wake up.
Because,
wake up,
you know,
America.
When we talked about jobs, and, you know, I know that we say them down, there are no jobs out there, but everywhere I turn, people are trying to hire, and people are not prepared. And they're not prepared mentally, not even for just showing up on time and coming prepared to learn the job that they asked for. You know, labor is not easy. Labor jobs are not easy. And if you're not willing to bust your back, don't complain because your back hurts the next night. It is what it is, labor. And if you don't get the education, you're going to have to do labor. But you're going to have you can't have it, you know, all one way. And we're losing because of it. Yes, Mark?
Well, I want to thank you for having me on the show. I love the show because it's a real free-for-all. There's a lot of free thought. You don't get that on a lot of shows here.
No, we're trying.
Keep up the good work.
We're trying, and I appreciate you. You know, we're trying to make it better, and that's important to me.
Keep up the good
work. It really is. So you've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll be back on Monday. We'll do open mic again. Don't know where we're going to pick up at that day and at that time, but we want you to come back and hang out with us on Monday at 12 noon. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Diva and South Carolina, bless O'Brien, Mike. Michigan, thanks for calling in. We've missed you for a while. And we'll see you on the other side over the weekend. God bless you.
Been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and friends.com. Tune in.